Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Abbott, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California!
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of those cowboys, I think.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. House.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J. Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. It is Tuesday. Sounds weird to say that. It is Tuesday, July 17th, 2012. I don't even know how I got that right. I was actually staring at my computer's date while I said it, so that's probably the reason. I give myself no credit. For those who know, Joey will be on tonight. Joey Numbers of Wrestling Soup fame. And he'll be on in about 15 minutes. He's running a little late. I actually might have him on right now. I'm not sure. Hey.
Hello.
Who's this?
Guess who?
Oh, Joey, you're early.
Yeah, I lucked out. I got out of there. I was waiting for these women to leave. Big chat. They take their time. And now I'm free.
Fantastic. I was just trying to waste time, and I'm no good at that, so that's fucking great. This is Joey Numbers on the line, for those who don't know. And, I got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. Definitely CZW. I watched that fucking show on Saturday, and, well, I mean, for the $10 I spent on the iPay-per-view, it was my money's worth just for the two last main events, the main event and the previous one before that. I guess we'll just leap right into that. The show started out, and it really didn't start out strong whatsoever. They had Phil Stamper, who's Phil Stamper, Mitch Stein, Nate Stein, that's his other name. And he's just standing there looking around, like, for no reason, just, like, staring at the stars and at his feet and back at the screen, and it just, like, wow, this is awkward. So then he's like, oh, yeah, welcome to the thing. Here's Matt Tremont. So then Tremont comes out, and he starts to try to, like, hype the show. So he does that thing, and then they pretty much go back where there's no show again. And then they start off the show, and they got Now, initially, for those who didn't know, they had Alex Colon was scheduled to wrestle Samurai Del Sol, which would have been pretty good. Samurai had to pull off the show for some kind of personal reasons or something like that. They filled it in by saying, okay, well, now he's wrestling Ruckus. And, maybe not the best replacement, but seeing as they just broke up the Blackout with Alex Colon and stuff, okay, kind of makes sense. So then they start off the show, and, Alex comes out, and then it's like, all right, and his opponent, here's Devin Moore. And you're like, what the fuck just happened? I have no idea. I'm lost. He's just walking out. He don't give a shit who he's wrestling. So he just walks out like, fuck it. Don't give a shit about this. And, they put on a halfway decent match, but it had no fucking purpose to it. Then you got Colon goes over, and no one seems to care, and that was that match.
Didn't Devin Moore just come off of, like, a 10-month title reign, too?
Yeah. You just lose in the opener, you know? No big deal.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to make too much sense.
No, of course not. So then, you just noticed, too, like, I know you've watched CZW for years, and back in the day, I used to listen to Gargiulo and House and just hate their guts. And it's one of those, like, you don't know what you got until it's gone, because...
Gargiulo, I think, was a big part in making CZW actually sound somewhat credible.
Yeah. And I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to what they were doing right back then. But since then, man, it's just been abysmal on the announcing team, which I'm normally live, so I never hear this. But holy shit.
Yeah, that's kind of all they do as far as the announcers go for CZW. It's just kind of fill that void of what you're used to with wrestling if you're an announcer. You have to just completely ignore what they're saying for the most part. They're really not adding much to the storyline. They're really not saying much of anything. It's just kind of like if you had somewhat educated, trying to be funny fans watching and talking over it. It's like having two of your lesser friends in your living room as you're watching something. That's basically what it is.
Right. As long as you added somewhat in front of every one of those comments, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
It's only somewhat funny, somewhat. Yeah, exactly. So then the next match, and, tell me what you expect out of something that on paper says up the ladder match. What would be involved in that match other than eight fucking people?
Was it eight people in the match?
Yes, eight people.
And it was called Up the Ladder.
Up the Ladder. I can tell you what wasn't in the match. A ladder.
Oh, boy. Was there any other matches that had that theme throughout the rest of the night? I didn't really get to look at the card much, but was there any other ladder match or anything like that?
No. I mean, they did the... No, not at all.
So this match was the night before Money in the Bank, right?
Oh, yeah. Lots of ladders.
So why wouldn't you do... So you have a pay-per-view the next day is Money in the Bank, and it's a ladder match. You're trying to promote an indie show as well as an iPay-per-view that's supposed to sell fucking matches to people that are going to potentially be WWE fans or whomever that's just kind of stumbles across it. So why wouldn't you use ladders the night before Money in the Bank was going to happen, because people are already kind of in the mindset of what's, that's what's going to happen this weekend. So they might as well kind of get a little early taste of it. And then not only that, the viewers that you could have that are going to see it before Money in the Bank, you clearly have guys that are going to do way crazier shit that can make them look like fucking morons.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, you've got guys that are going to clearly take far more impressive bumps than, for example, Santino Marella. Not shitting on the guy, but clearly, he's going to work a little bit. Or, the CZW guys or whomever are going to be in the ring. They're, just that much more willing to do crazier shit. So that doesn't really make that much sense, especially the night before the pay-per-view. But, what do I know?
Yeah. So then your competitors for that are Drew Gulak, Dustin Reyes, Joe Gacy, Little Mondo, Niles Young, Latin Dragon, Mia Yim, and Ruckus.
Wow.
And before I go into, you know, even how horrible the match was, I also heard rumor that several competitors in the match actually thought there was a ladder involved until the match happened. So
that's
not good. No, it's not. So out of all those people, now you figure, you got this match, you got eight people in the match. People expected a ladder, you give no ladder. The main event is going to be an hour long. That's like already set in stone. It's an hour long Iron Man match, Sami Callihan, Drake Younger. Great. But how long you want to make this eight man go? I mean, they just started out slow work. Like, you expect like that fast scramble moving stuff, you know, like just.
Was there any sort of a gimmick, like a table, ladder, barbed wire, anything that happened in the Iron Man match?
Tables and stuff.
Okay. I can almost see why they do that in a sort of a way of it making sense of them not having that happen because what was going to happen in the main event. But if you're going to have that eight man, you're going to bother giving it that name, you're going to go through with it. Why don't you give eight guys the semi-main event, half the ladder match, half the shit happened before the Iron Man? I mean, CZW is notorious for blowing their load and basically making the crowd fucking exhausted by the main event.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you can't, you know, do too much shit when your main event is supposed to contain all that crazy stuff. But like you said, this was the second match.
Yeah. So you have eight people, no ladders. I mean, I see what you're going for. You know, in retrospect, I see what you're going for. Call it an opportunity knock match. Call it something other than blah, 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 ladder.
Was it for something? Was it for, like, a title shot or something like that?
Nah, just kind of like, hey, who does it look like we're pushing now? And out of those eight people, who do you think it was?
Oh, boy. Was it Ruckus?
No, it wasn't.
No, I guess Ruckus, just because that would make the least sense, because they would say, you know, hey, here's a guy that's just a young up-and-comer who's already won the heavyweight title two or three times or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Guys won all those titles. No, I don't know who it was then.
Joe Gacy.
Oh, jeez. Well, you know what? At least it's a guy that... You know, Joe Gacy, he didn't have too great of a match tournament at Death. I mean, Ryan Slater, if anything, Ryan Slater was fucking killing himself for Gacy on that match, man. He was trying like a motherfucker. But,
he should kill himself over something.
maybe Gacy is, maybe he's gearing up to do better. Maybe he just had an off day there at Tournament of Death. But, you know, at least he's a homegrown guy. He's a big guy. He even though he's kind of just a, you know, kind of a fat dude, but at least he looks like he might be able to actually hurt somebody, you know? But if there was absolutely no point to the match, though, then why even call it that? You know what I mean? Why don't they just call it like an eight-man CZW showcase, you know?
Sure. And the thing I don't get about putting Joe Gacy over, I understand the young thing and all of that you're saying, but, I mean, you got Mia Yim, who's kind of been on and off the shows because she's been booked in Japan and everything else. She stole the show with Greg Excellent months back. I mean, you got Dustin Reyes, who's coming off breaking his leg.
He's another one. I don't think he's too bad. I think he's pretty good. I think Dustin Reyes is pretty good. I mean, a lot of those random Midwest guys that Sami Callihan apparently was, instrumental in bringing in, a lot of those guys are good. They just kind of blend in together, and they got to be a little bit careful because they just seem like a lot of those dudes are very spot-oriented. You know what I mean? Like, that's
sure.
The problem is they blend in a little bit, like the Kid Dustin Reyes and the two brothers there, the Irish Airborne.
The Chris,
Yes. Well, I think both of the Chris are also really good, too, but they're all starting to blend in a little bit too much together. I don't know why.
No, I think that's a lot of the booking, and that's coming up right after this match. But and the other guy, Drew Gulak, he was on a whole thing doing Drew Gulak for a better CCW, and then he had a no rope barbed wire match first time in his career against Danny Havoc, you know, headlining a show, and then Joe Gacy just goes over in a match. Okay, that's all right.
Once again, all right, there you go.
But, well, that's what you want to do.
Well, I mean, Gulak is supposed to be, I think, the, you know, what it is for him, at least, is he plays his character well in what he's doing. And
yeah.
I don't think he's the type of guy that's supposed to, I don't think he, as a character, is supposed to be the guy that wins matches. He's supposed to be made the fool. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, like, I can get that.
Just from watching him and seeing him, like, his character should be the guy that's made the fool. And that's one thing that I think, as far as CZW is as a company, is they've got too many cool guys. You see what I'm saying?
Well, they used
like,
to.
Got, as, well, no, but I mean, as a whole, like, it's too many guys trying to be fucking cool. You know, like, it's like, all right, you know, it's fine. Like, you, somebody's got to be the asshole. Somebody's got to be the fucking clown. Someone's got to lose. You know, like, they need a couple more guys that are like that. Like, even a guy like Devin Moore, who, like you said, you know, he's losing in the first match, and he's the fucking been the champion for 10 months or whatever. It's like, even him, when he was having his run as the babyface and as the champ, it was like, he still was looking a little too tough for a dude that's supposed to be, like, the underdog babyface champ. You know
right.
what I mean? Like, there's a little bit too much of a too cool syndrome. Not Scotty Too Hotty, of course, too cool, but just a too cool syndrome amongst that entire company, where it's like, yeah, not everybody can be that cool badass dude that everybody goes into wrestling planning to be in their head. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah.
I mean, like, because like, let's be honest here. I don't think any of the dudes that work at the Colony in Chikara. Grew up as a child saying to themselves, I can't wait to become a pro wrestler and become an ant. But working as an ant has got...
On the topic
band,
of Drew Gulak.
You know? Oh, yeah, Gulak was one of them, right?
Yeah, kayfabe that, because you're not supposed to know.
Oh, no. Which one was he? Was he worker ant, or what was his deal?
He was the green one. I believe
oh, no.
the green one or the soldier one, or...
Well, the green ant is, I think, a different one. I don't know. Just,
okay, yeah, I think he's soldier. Yeah, he just.
Oh,
but he's
soldier.
No. Yeah, I believe so. I don't know.
I don't know nothing.
Yeah,
who knows? I mean, Chicago, they're keeping those guys under wraps. Good for them. Then they're doing all right for themselves. So.
Yeah.
Can't knock them too bad. Everybody that goes to those shows and has fun. I mean, I'm completely distracting it from the CZW thing, but you know, just pointing that out. But. Yeah, so what happened in the next match there?
Oh, well, that was DJ, who obviously needs tons of ring time, and Dave Crist versus Greg Excellent and Jake Crist. And I can't hate DJ's fucking ring work any more than I already do. There's no possible way. I lose my shit when I see him in the ring. I can't fucking stand it. It just...
My biggest problem with DJ Hyde as a whole is what the fuck is he? You see what I'm saying? Like there's nothing that he is. Like it's like, oh, he's the owner of the company, but at the same point it's just like, yeah, but like what's his deal? He's just like an overweight dude in a singlet with the boy's regular haircut. Like if you're gonna bother you know, being a character on a show that's going to be on every single month, you got to give people more. There's got to be something distinctive to him. He looks like the assistant manager of a Best Buy.
Yeah,
you
he does. And
you
it's funny,
I mean?
Too. I said something very, very similar like a month or two back because I guess they made this shitty CZW shirt that had like a collar on it, like looked like a polo shirt, and it had the logo just on the breast. And like on like the breast pocket type thing, and I was like, "You look like you're managing a Circuit City."
Yeah.
It was exactly what I said.
Yeah, that's clearly a problem when you've got a guy and he's supposed to be the head of a wrestling company, and that's what he looks like. You know what I mean? I don't think there's a single person in the world that would argue for the in ring quality of a Zandig match. But for fuck's sake, if you saw that guy in a Stop and Shop, I don't know if you guys have Stop and Shops, but it's a grocery store for anybody that might be from anywhere else. If you saw him in a fucking grocery store, the first thing that would go off in your head is that guy looks like a fucking wrestler. So
yeah.
And that's needed. I mean, that's needed if you're going to be somebody that's supposed to be the figurehead of a wrestling company. And that goes back to even guys like Vince McMahon, where, you know, people always used to say Vince McMahon wanted his guys to look as good as he does. Yeah, no shit.
Yes.
You know what I mean? No shit. And so he has to come up with something to do for himself. I mean, it's just got to change a little bit. Although, at least that tag match makes sense with what's the shit that's been going on for them in that storyline, right?
I guess. But also, it does make sense of why Dave and Jake kind of blend together as, you know, well, what are they even doing anyway? Like, they're, you know, look what they're involved in.
Yeah, so was the match itself even decent, or was it just...
No, nothing DJ does is decent. And, you know, it's funny because I start freaking out on the internet about it because I'm just fucking drinking and watching this thing on my computer. And, I immediately post something about how horrible he is, and one of the first people who responds is a wrestler. And Tank,
no.
I don't know if you've heard of Tank from, he works like out like Midwest.
Yeah, he was a deathmatch guy, right?
Yeah. He's like, listen,
yeah.
I'm no mat technician, but this guy can't even fucking brawl. I worked him once, and oof. He's like, you know, nice enough guy, but usually the nice enough guys turn out to be the biggest shitbirds, he says.
That's one of those big problems that's happening in wrestling right now, is that a lot of people are getting work because they're nice guys.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like there comes a point where it's like this, the wrestling business as a whole, or wrestling in general, is supposed to be just that. It's supposed to be a business. If you're hiring people, yeah, you might want to hire the nice guy to work around with. You're going to have to be around him 50 hours a week. But if he's not getting the job done, then you got to fucking fire him. Of course, you can hire the secretary with the nice hair and the big tits because all she's got to do is answer a fucking phone. But if it comes down to somebody that needs to make some money for you, you can't just hire people and you can't just keep them around because they're nice. And I feel
Absolutely.
Like that's kind of always been a thing that you've seen a little bit in CCW. So, but the problem was, the mistake of the matter was, now the guy that's just that kind of nice dude is now owning it, and that's not too smart of a move.
Yeah, the point I made too when I was like going off, and it's like, you know, DJ needs to not be on the fucking TV. Like, focus on your things. Like, a lot of things that you guys have talked about on Wrestling Soup, as far as you know, the consistency of angles and things that you know, went on a couple months ago, and then you just completely forget about it, you know. And it's like, people need to be reminded that, like, oh, hey, remember when you were doing that shit? This makes that irrelevant. Okay? Oh, all right. Well, I think there'd be more attention paid to that if he wasn't so busy about putting himself over.
Well, I mean, I do on a level feel a little bit, not necessarily bad for DJ, just because I do agree he needs to step back. He needs to let other people kind of do their own thing. But I feel bad in a lot of ways for a lot of these guys that are on that show, just because the crowd itself does them no favors. They don't lend anything to it. And the point of the matter is that the Philadelphia crowd, the CZW crowd, are so fucking smart that you can't even tell when guys are over, if they're getting heat, just because it's not effective. You can't gauge the crowd effectively. It's sort of like that Ring of Honor crowd when they were in New York City. And,
yeah,
you know, Kevin Steen, you know, cuts a promo and says they're all fucking assholes and losers. And people sit down and go, yeah, we're fucking assholes. Yeah, we're losers. Yay. Yeah, we're fucking loser assholes. Thank you so much. Whoopee. And it's like, how the fuck are you going to complain about wrestling and have no, and say, these people can't fuck, they don't know where to go, they don't have a fucking direction. And it's like, well, if you can't fucking give them some sort of a direction to go through gauging your behavior and reaction, then they have no goddamn idea what to do. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. Of course DJ's going to go out there and cut these 20-minute promos because he wants to, and do the shit because he wants to, because you're not reacting to anything. So,
but
of course, you're going to do whatever you want.
Yep. How are you supposed to react to a guy coming out there going, I hate you fucking people? And you know what else? Tonight, we're having a no-rope barbed wire in the main event. We're taking the fucking ropes down, putting barbed wire up, and you know what? you guys are fucking assholes. And next month, we're bringing in Jun Kasai from Big Japan Wrestling, and you know what? I still don't like you fucking people. What do you do?
Listen here, you fucking assholes. Everybody here gets a fudgicle.
Yeah. There's tickets under your fucking seats. You have new cars. You fucking Oprah, but you also hate me. It's awesome.
You guys can all suck my dick right after you have some free pizza that I put over at the concession stand for everybody.
Yeah. I'd like you to just be fresh off eating a slice of pizza when you blow me, motherfucker. Wow.
You need to put a fraction of your breath after sucking my dick. Here's a free beer.
Yeah. Mojitos on the house.
Who dislikes this guy? This is almost impossible. But, no, I mean, I understand that, but that's the problem with it is that nobody informs these guys. I think that what's really, really missing, and has always kind of missed in CCW, but they've always gotten away with it just because they were, you know, they were hot for a long time and they did crazy shit and that fucking sold, is that they've always legitimately missed one guy that's a vet, that's older, that has that sensibility, that can be like, what the fuck are you doing? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, they always miss like that one guy that can sit there and say to them, be like, guys, what you're doing is fucking stupid. Like, you need to fix this. Like, for example, CZW is littered with this style of match. And I don't want this to just be a shit fest of me shitting on them, because clearly they're not so awful because I watch them every single month.
But, right.
One of the biggest problems that they have is, like, for example, you mentioned Alex Colon earlier, and I saw him have some match. I'm not quite sure with who it was. But him and some other guy would just, I think it might have been A.R. Fox, would just beat the fucking piss out of each other, right? And no one in the crowd is doing a goddamn thing. They're just watching these two beat each other fucking severely.
Half of them might have saw the video. I think that was the best of the best.
Yeah, that might have been best of the best. But I'm sitting there and I'm like thinking to myself, I'm going, okay, you guys just keep hitting each other and having all these crazy false finishes, and they're reacting to exactly zero of your false finishes. There's zero reaction to your false finishes. So you know what? Bring it home. Bring it the fuck home. Nobody's reacting. The match, it doesn't matter anymore. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense. It's like,
if they wrapped every match up that didn't get over, it'd be a 20-minute show, though.
That's what it should be then. If the fucking crowd, you know what I mean? Like, think about it this way. I mean, you have to think about it in the sense of that if you were a comic or if you were a musician, right? If you went up on stage and you know, it's like, for example, I'm trying to think of the band. Oh, Danzig. I saw Danzig once, right? I saw them open up for. Can't even remember who. It was fucking years ago. And he walks out on stage, and the first thing somebody does is they scream. They go, "Bloody Mother!" And he goes, "Don't worry, we're going to play Mother." And so they plays the song. Next song comes on, and he goes, guy in the crowd just goes, "Bloody Mother!" And he goes, we're going to play Mother. Like, it's fine. Like, fucking calm down, right? So that happens about two more songs in a row, and then he just goes, all right, fine, we're going to fucking play Mother. And he plays Mother, and the song ends, and the guy in the crowd goes, "Bloody Mother!" And he goes, we just played that. And he goes, and that's what it comes down to, is that there are certain people that they want to see just that much, and then you just bring it the fuck home. He could have gone out there, played three songs, played Mother, and they're like, oh, fuck, you suck my dick, see you later, shit, and just left. And that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, like, get off the stage before you completely bomb. And that's what fucking CZW misses, is that they're completely on that get-your-shit-in mode, and they have to do their fucking three goddamn false finishes because they plan them in the back. And the first one doesn't work. So, you know, the first one didn't work. So let's do three, four, five, and six. And I think that's why you guys get the criticism you get, and you have dead crowds, because if your shit doesn't work, just stop. Fucking stop. Just, fucking exploder into the corner, boom, nobody fucking cheers. Oh, stand up fucking brainbuster, boom, check out a two, nobody cares. Just stop, finish your fucking match. So what, he gave you 12 minutes, go eight.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I do agree with that, you know, the crowd is definitely spoiled. But again, when you talk about these other things that we have issues with, you know, and you look at it and you go, oh, that makes no sense. You guys aren't even fucking trying to book this shit right. Of course the crowd's going to start going, you know what, fuck you in your match. Fucking impress me, you know? Step it up.
Well, believe me, I'm not blaming the crowd for not cheering that shit at all.
Mm-hmm.
In that situation, in the sense of, listen, we're just not into this match. Quit it today. We're not having a good time. We don't care. Stop fucking doing the same shit over and over and over again. And, you know what? If the people don't fucking want to watch the match, just fucking finish it. Bring it home. Fucking, what is it? Oh, you know, no, I swear I have to do a fucking Frankensteiner off the top rope on my fucking cervix. And I cracked my fucking skull open. Oh, cervixes aren't women, by the way. I had to crack my skull open, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, the crowd sucks dicks. They don't care. Fucking O'Connor roll, go home. The crowd sucks. Fuck them. Just have a simple finish. And then when the crowd starts coming back, let me tell you, if you ended the first three matches on a CZW show with a schoolboy and O'Connor roll, and the last one was fucking pin with your feet on the ropes, by the time you got to the fourth match where a guy fucking hits one dude with a 450 or AR Fox does one of his crazy things, you might actually hear a cheer.
Yeah.
You might actually hear a rumbling of somebody giving a plate of piss. You might actually hear that. It might occur. But, you know, like you said, it is a lopsided thing. You know, the wrestlers just do whatever the fuck they planned to do before, so it doesn't come off well. And the audience doesn't let them gauge anything off of it. They don't want them make any sort of a guess as to what they like. So, yeah, both sides kind of suck. And I know I'm completely veering off from this pay-per-view, but these are things. I've wanted to talk about CZW on a show for a really long time. And clearly, you know, the soup, we talk about all of wrestling. We'll talk about indie wrestling, plug, and WWE and TNA up and down the board and everything. But no, very rarely do I get to specifically talk about the CZW product.
Sure. You know? I'd love to hear it, man. So then before intermission, like, directly before intermission, like, hey, we're going to take intermission, but before we do that, we're going to sell raffle tickets, and then the winner of that raffle that we'll announce directly after intermission is going to announce the match that happens after intermission.
What? Oh, like from the crowd, like a fan.
Yeah, like they're going to ring announce the match after intermission, but you're going to start selling them before intermission, not the beginning of the night. That would be silly. And, the intermission where everybody who smokes a cigarette needs to go outside or, you know, has doing whatever they're doing in the parking lot, they're going to run out and try to get something in. And then, you know, but we're trying to sell, announce one match immediately after intermission, but we're going to sell it before intermission. And that's the time you got. And then, I'm sure tons of money was made and the guy was, pretty fucking god awful.
Yeah. Well, once again, like I said, that goes back to the old, they don't have anybody that's around that I think that's been around long enough that could help them figure their shit out. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, I've been in the front rows yelling, what the fuck is your problem, for fucking 11 years? Now I'm sitting at home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I can completely understand that. And if I lived in that area, I would have gone to CZW shows all the time. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, it's crash bang entertainment. It's a fun thing, but at the same time, fuck. I mean, really, really fuck. I mean, they really got to get their shit together a little bit more. And I think they could. They still have plenty of good guys, but
sure,
fuck no.
A lot of talent, and the talent is just misbooked, in my opinion. So the next matchup was Azrael and Bandido, the tag champions that they didn't do shit with for 6 months, and then decided, we're going to make a stable around you guys, and you're heels now. And then you got Danny Havoc and 13, who are part of the Nation of Intoxication. And it's just a completely pointless match. Like, here's what it is. You get Azrael and Bandido, who also have Alex Colon in their corner.
Yeah.
You also have Danny Havoc and 13 with Devin Moore in their corner, who lost to Alex Colon on the first match of the night. So now they're just standing there like nothing matters. Devin Moore's just sitting there like he doesn't give a shit about life. And just chilling out, like nothing happened to him that night whatsoever.
Can
no
I point
selling.
Out to you that we've had four matches and we've already seen like what 8, 12 fucking, I mean, we've seen like 17 wrestlers before like in four matches.
Yeah.
How the fuck are you? How do you expect people to keep track of all these people or give a shit about them? There's just too many. This is too many people. I mean, I realize DJ's probably paying these guys $20 a head, but still, he's overbooking
well,
the shit out of this card.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that he's paying them all $20, but
yeah,
buddy, that fucking adds up.
Dude, but so here it goes. Fucking, it's what I have a problem with too, as far as the Nation of Intoxication storyline. Obviously, it's based off the Nation of Domination. You look at all the things that they did back then. They you know, had their way, and people are against us, and all of this stuff. At this point, within two shows, the Four Loko is working more of that same gimmick than the Nation of Intoxication ever has. They've only had, but a short amount of time where Gulak and his guys were going, we're not down with your style of, you know, you're not taking the business seriously, you're drinking and this and that. Like, I mean, there's nothing based behind the gimmick. It's just like they kind of walk out and like, yeah, I probably drank tonight. Like,
Wait. So there's Nation of Intoxication and Four Loko. So it's two alcohol named stable states against one another.
Yeah, but
so it's
Four Loko is in
Miller 64 versus Bud Light Lime. Is that the next match?
Right, but it's
yeah,
funny
okay.
Because the Nation of Intoxication has no real like angle or no like push or other than doing the Drunken Death match against themselves at Tournament of Death. Really haven't pushed their gimmick, and Four Loko is doing exactly what the Nation of Domination did. They're like, we're all Latin. People don't like Latin people, and it's our time. We're taking over. It's like, and now we're going to fight the guys who pretended to do the same gimmick. Like, what? Oh, it's fucking frustrating.
That's very confusing. So, Four Loko is the... But the tag champs, the Azrael and Bandido there, I don't know if... maybe I'm being a little too harsh here, but... Those guys have been around for a long time, and they've just never really gotten over anywhere they've been.
Well,
like why would you bring guys in? And no offense to them, I'm sure they're nice dudes. And I think I actually the kid Azrael. I think I worked a match with him.
Okay.
Four years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago in Connecticut. It was him and Frankie Arion. Yeah, I worked a match with them, and he's a nice enough kid. I mean, but the match was it was an abortion. It was a fucking mess.
Right.
But for the most part, Jesus Christ, I mean, these guys have run their course. What are you doing bringing in guys on their 8th or 9th year that have never really done much of anything for themselves and making them your champs, you know?
No, I do understand that. And, like, honestly, Philly's Most Wanted were champs before them, and they were doing a shitload more with it. They passed the titles off to them so Philly's Most Wanted could wrestle Homicide and Kingston without a title involved. And, okay, that's fine, but they never created a storyline, a gimmick, anything for Azrael and Bandido. And I know people who know them personally who straight up told me, like, they would drive them to the shows and they'd be like, I guess we're dropping the titles tonight. And then they'd leave going, I can't believe they didn't fucking take the titles off of us. Like, they had no fucking idea why they were even champions, because there was no build put to them. There was no storyline. There was no, like, okay, you guys are the men, and here's what you're doing. Here's why you're champions. It's just like, well, you got belts. Like,
well, what I really think it is for a lot of these things is that CZW has so many guys. Like, so, I mean, like I said, there were 17 guys, like, in the, you know, around that. What? There were two tag team matches, so there's 8 dudes right there. And then there was an 8-man tag, 16. So 16 fucking guys in your first
in 2 matches.
Four matches. And, you know, you had your opener, which is a singles match, and then you had an 8-man, right? So I'm even counting off here. 10, 2 fucking 8, 18. 18 guys in your first 4 matches. 18 fucking guys out there in your first 4 matches. Not 6. 4.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane, man.
How do you expect these guys to fucking get over? There's just too many of them. There's too fucking many. And how can you concentrate any sort of build on them when you've got so many people to fucking pay attention to? Yeah, I mean, you know, you can, Azrael, Bandido, they're not capable of building a gimmick or, you know, capable of giving them some sort of a reason or an idea or anything with the faction. But there's so many fucking people that, like, you
right.
get lost in the mix. You know what I mean? Like, you get lost in the fucking mix. Is there still even the Iron Man title gone, right?
Yeah, that's gone.
Completely gone.
Yeah, they got rid of the Ultraviolent Underground title because Masada had that, then he won the world title, and they're like, yeah, we're just going to go fuck that title.
Yeah, so now all they have is the tag title, the heavyweight title, and the junior championship, right?
Yep, that's it. Right. Oh, wire title.
Oh, God, they got to get rid of that fucking thing.
It was a bad idea from the start.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, so a company that has had shoddy television deals the entirety of its fucking run, you're going to give it a television title? Oh, boy.
Yep.
You're asking for trouble there.
Yeah. So then came the good matches, and there was AR Fox versus Masada, and I thought it went pretty well. Honestly, I don't think Masada was anywhere near as hard on AR Fox as he is on most opponents. But when he did stick the skewers in his head, I dare you to not think. Go ahead and stick them, man.
We're going to put some money in your pocket, AR.
You go ahead and stick them. handful of skewers in the head. Yeah. I was surprised to see that, actually, because I didn't think Masada could actually really wrestle. That's why, to me, he's one of the best deathmatch wrestlers out there, because he can really wrestle and put science to an actual deathmatch other than just swing that shit until the guy's fucking, everybody's happy, you know, like it.
Yeah. I think his problem with Masada is that maybe it's just the fact that he's Southern. I think that might be it. But there's some part of him that always just looks so mellow. Like, even when he's, like, severely injuring someone, he just looks like he's just really chilled out. Like, he just looks like, oh, you know, like, what are you doing, man? Oh, you know, I'm just going to power bomb this guy. Oh, he's in a box. You know what I mean? Like,
they're on fire. I mean, it's just like, whatever, bro.
I'm just going to fucking stab this guy in the head, man. Like, you know, just do it out, put it out there. Like, that was the one thing that, clearly, I'm surprised it took me this long to mention him, but that was the one thing that made the Nick Gage character
so fucking believable. Because
yeah,
he was intense as shit.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Like, Nick Gage looks like the type of guy that clearly we all know he's just a little fucking out there now, so it makes perfect sense, but he just seems like the type of guy that would, like, you'd look in front of him, you'd look at him, and he'd be sitting there at his breakfast table, and he'd be like, I'm going to make some fucking Cheerios. And he just pour the Cheerios
like,
in the bowl.
You're goddamn right you are, bro. I ain't doing shit with your Cheerios.
What do you got in the fucking fridge? Got any skim milk?
Let me check, dude. Let me check. Just give me 1 minute.
Yeah,
I got it.
I'm the check for the fucking cooler sack. You
fucking
for that
man.
Yeah,
goddamn
fuck
right.
Yeah.
Pussy.
Yeah, it's fucking right. Fucking right. Honey nut fucking Cheerios. It's right.
Yeah.
And it was believable because he's a nut, and that's why it worked. But yeah, I mean, well, it turned out that he clearly was living his gimmick of being fucked in the head. But Masada just—he looks like he's in a even when he's, you know, literally practically murdering someone, he seems like he has like a general malaise to his being.
And it's probably just like being so used to it because he pretty much lived in Japan for a good amount of time and worked with the craziest people in the world for several years. Like, he's unfazed by this shit anymore. Like, you know, it's just kind of another day at the office.
I get it, but it's like, fucking Bruce Springsteen's going to play Born to Run and pretend like he hasn't been playing it for 42 years.
Nah,
Bruce. You know what I mean?
No.
Like, it's... like, you got to do that.
Like,
I'm sorry.
Let's not pretend like Bruce Springsteen's talented.
I love Bruce Springsteen. I fucking love Bruce Springsteen.
Okay,
but
Yeah,
let me use another example. Do you think Lars Ulrich is, or James Hetfield has to sing fucking Enter Sandman like he loves the fucking thing? I think he's sick of it by now.
Of course
I'm gonna go on the limb.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go on and say he's sick of fucking Enter Sandman. But you know what? He's gonna put that same stupid smile on his face, and that's what you gotta do. You gotta present it like that every time. Oh, so what's going on? Stab this guy in the head, put the fucking skewers again. Going through the motions. Skewers
now
stab.
I understand. I think Devin Moore is worth a lot of shit. Like, but his fucking run as world champ was shit. Like, he walked out there like he was going into fucking Wawa. Like, that, he was a fucking face, and he just fucking walked out there like, whatever. You talk to him in the back, like, I don't fucking care, cuz. It's like fucking, fucking DJ puts the fucking title on me. What am I supposed to do? I don't fucking care. And you're like, alright then. Well, have at it.
And I hate to be the guy that says this, because it's the most stereotypical thing that people say all the time. But, come on, look at that fucking guy. Should he really have a heavyweight championship?
No!
Fucking God. It's for real. For fucking real. And not only should he not have one, should he really have had one for that fucking long? Come on.
Of course not. And the thing is like, he proved himself to be a guy who can go in a main event or go against a top guy. And, he's done, star presses through panes of glass off the top of the cage of death. Like, dude, yeah, you're okay. You belong somewhere around this, but not the flagship, because he doesn't even give a shit to carry it. Like, he's just like,
nah,
fucking whatever, cuz. Fucking, you got beer? Fucking.
I mean, at the end of the day, the fact that guy has had the CCW Heavyweight Championship and Danny Havoc hasn't, it literally boggles my mind.
Yeah, that is pretty nutty.
That fucking literally boggles my mind. And it's on the level of, hey, is Danny Havoc going to be the guy that's going to go out there and work your name talent, and he's going to give him, like, these great matches and blah, blah, blah? No, but he definitely has that emotional connection, and he can get by with enough, and he's certainly going to kill himself, and he's a face of the company. And why the fuck not? You know what I mean? Like, he's a guy that when he goes out there, he does have an emotional investment in the company. And you can associate him with the brand of CZW. As opposed to, like you said, with the Devin Moore thing, he's like, I don't know why the fuck I'm doing it. I don't really get it. And those guys have always kind of existed in the company, where it's like these guys are like, are you gonna notice that these dudes, like, are really fucking over and probably get a chance at the title,
maybe
we should stop fixating on people like fucking, for example, I'm sure you remember, like, the Justin Payton fixation for a while, where you're just like, okay.
So Justice Payne?
Huh?
You said Justice Payne?
Yeah.
Nah, yeah, I hear you. I mean,
that was
the
point
like
where you were kind of like, you were like,
there was a point, a lot of people...
The seventh most over guy in your company right now, like, maybe the tenth, like, I get it, he's got traps, but it's not a big deal, like, you can give it to somebody that's actually really, really the fuck over.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't help that Justice was booking the fucking card for half the fucking time he was there, so,
I'm sure legit. That doesn't hurt. But speaking of cards, so what happened after the 25 guys that appeared in the first four matches? What happened after that?
No, well, like I said, the Masada, AR Fox, go ahead and stick a match. Masada went over, but they both got their shit in, as they would say, and the lagging is horrible on this fucking iPay-per-view, so it's crazy to, it's only $10, and again, the main event, and that AR Fox Masada match wasn't bad. It really wasn't.
No, I don't think they'd have a bad match.
No, but the main event, man. 1 hour, Drake Younger versus fucking Sami Callihan. They tore it up for a fucking hour. And I honestly, the time moved pretty fast, because I was like, yo, I love both of these fucking guys. And I don't know how much attention I could pay to this fucking thing. But no, I mean, the time went really quick. They did a lot of spots. They did a lot of things. It's like it really went well, in my opinion.
Well, I'd expect those two to put together a really good match,
Absolutely. fucking, yeah. And Drake's leaving. He's out of here. He's in California, or he's at least still heading to California right now. And he's going to go live in Northern California. And, you know, he'll be PWG's new gem. And he'll be over there in Gorilla starting next month, I think it is, and against B-Boy. So rekindling that thing.
Well, that's good. I mean, I always felt like Drake Younger, you know, despite not being the absolute best. I mean, clearly anybody would tell you that Drake Younger is a non-traditional, you know, wrestler. He always has been. He doesn't,
right.
You know, he's not your fucking, you know, pretty looking baby face in the tights or the trunks or whatever. Like,
right.
That's just not his thing. But there's an aura, I guess you could say, to the guy that when he's in the ring, people like him. He's just incredibly likable. And
they can do a lot.
I mean, you can do a whole lot with him in the ring. And Sami Callihan, once again, is, you know, up-and-coming guy. He's really on that cusp of breaking out and really doing something with himself.
And you got to know that the guy's 24 years old.
Yeah, that blows my mind. I mean, he's, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, we're both, you know, I'm well in my 20s. And what are you? Are you 31?
I'm 34.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, fuck. I forgot that. I'm
fucking old man.
that's all right. Well, you know, we all look like shit once we hit about 28 anyways, and it becomes all the same. But you forget that. You're like, Jesus Christ. That's, to me, that's a kid. I mean, he's fucking young. Like, he's a young, young dude. So he's still got time to get a lot better.
Of course.
So he's got a good run still left in him. So you know, as a main event guy, him and Drake, that must have been a really, really good match. I'm disappointed I still haven't come across it. I still haven't got to see
it. Yeah, just I've been searching the interwebs too. But you know, and I also, you know, not to get away from the match or anything like that, but you know, speaking age wise, Adam Cole's 23 years old.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
fine.
That's another guy. Come on, man.
Yeah,
he's gonna get so much better.
Yeah, he'll be signed by the time he's 26.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that, and that's probably giving him a few years of not being signed.
Yeah, and that's being generous. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, WWE will probably sign him in 2 years, as long as he doesn't fucking, you know, gain a fuckload of weight or, you know, really piss off the wrong person. I mean, I couldn't imagine them not eventually picking him up.
Sammy as well.
Sammy too. I mean, I don't know how big Adam Cole is. I don't know how tall he is. I think, you know, Sammy's height would probably hurt him the most. The two things that I think.
I think he'd match up with an American Dragon and no problem, you know, and look
how
over he is.
I think the problem would be with the most with Sammy is that he's so reliant character-wise on his intensity that due to his size, if he's in the ring with a guy that's 5-6 inches taller than him, unless it's handled correctly, it might not work exactly well.
Yeah,
but, you know,
well, have you seen
who
his matches with Finlay?
Oh, yeah, he had very good matches with Finlay. But then again, Finlay, you know, Finlay, yeah, he's a fucking strong dude. And he's a tough dude, but he's also not, you know, he's not a beast. He's not a beastly fucking guy, you know what I mean? Like, Finlay's a brick shithouse, but he's not a scary motherfucker, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, we're not talking tall-wise again, but Sammy Sakimoto.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean,
say Sakimoto. I mean, that was pretty fucking serious.
Sakimoto is also... I was very disappointed to find out Sakimoto's not that tall of a dude either. He's only...
No,
like,
he's very short.
He's like 5'9", 5'10", something like that.
He's like a fucking block, though. He's something else.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you put that guy that's that size of the American Indies, and he's going to look like a fucking murderer. But once again, like, that's probably would be the only detriment to him is that his character is so reliant on that intensity that due to his size. But like I said, I mean, man, I'm not going to judge this fucking kid. Who knows what he's got inside of him for a character or a personality or promo-wise. Or who knows if he knows when he gets to the game he can't fucking do this, you know, he can't do this shtick, so he's got something else planned. You know what I mean? So
possibly.
Who knows? I mean, there must have been no... knowledge for a guy like Claudio Castagnoli in his mind that, well, when I get to WWE, they're going to make me a fucking rugby player.
Yeah. They're going to name me like an Italian and make me a rugby player. That's what they're going to
do. I mean, you're going to have no awareness of what you're getting into. So, I mean, for all we know, they could fucking, they could hire Sammy and tell him, you know, okay, now you're going to go out there and you're going to run a fucking sausage cart. Who knows, you know? Fucking knows,
no, who knows
day to day what these people are going to come up with them. But he seems like just a talented enough kid. I really do hope he does get signed relatively
soon. Sure.
I mean, before a lot of these other goddamn horrendous ass clowns that are in FCW that don't deserve a contract, but
for
it
sure.
doesn't surprise me for you to tell me that those two had a really good match for an hour long match, you know?
So, they did that. Here's my problem from that. Guess what happened afterwards? Well, if you saw Best of the Best, they gave, instead of, they're like, you know, plaques were a little heavy on the fucking cost chart, so we're going to go ahead and give the fans choice, like, a title shot anytime they want, at, you know, their discretion, like, we don't have any plaques, so who's the fans choice? Well, that was A.R. Fox. You know, the same guy who lost to the world champion who won Tournament of Death 2 years in a row, the match before, and I know that's an hour apart, but, well, he cashed in after that hour match and beat Sammy, who just won, and now he's the fucking junior champion. I hate that. I
for
fucking
a
hate that.
To do,
But after a match with the world champion, who's supposed to be the most dominant thing in the company, just won Tournament of Death 2 years in a row, should you not at least fucking lay low for the rest of the night? No?
Should he not have been on the card in any way, shape, or form, so that way people would have completely forgot that that was even an option for him to go out and do that?
That
would have been the best way to do it. I mean, I get that clearly he's a guy that people want to see work on the show. I mean, obviously that's a guy that people want to see work on the show.
Was
so
that
Fox? Fox, yeah. I mean, so...
Yeah.
Obviously the best method or the best plan would have been for them to have had him be the guy that's in the fucking opener. Have him be in the opener. Have him be in the opener. Have him fucking squash.
And not only that, he claimed his money in the bank thing, right? Masada puts out an open challenge and he answers it. I kind of think you're answering a money in the bank right now. No? I don't know. I mean, it's not called money in the bank, but like you have a title shot anytime you... And the guy is the world champion and has an open challenge, and then you take it, and you still got another title shot? All right, then. I mean, shit just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, you got two title shots in one night? I don't know about that.
Well, I guess open thing just, yeah.
I guess the challenge was just that open.
it was wide open.
You got two.
Andy had to go.
And not only did he get two title shots, but I mean, dude is a babyface. And the main event of the match was two babyfaces. Since I am like, if it was one face in the match, and then a heel, and then the heel went over, and he came out, great. But it was supposed to be like a feel good two babyface match. You know what I mean?
Right. The one two other face- thing I didn't. I didn't mention over the show is that they did form the Ohio is for Killer stable together during the show. So they have the Sammy Callahan, Jake, Dave, all back together. Would have been Dustin Rays. Dustin Rays actually broke his hand coming back from his broken leg in that eight man. So I guess he's going to have to sit down again. But so they did reform that, so I don't know if they're kind of going heel with Sammy right now because, you know, so, I mean, that's the only spin to that. But in the same token, yeah, I don't agree with it. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's to me, why would you have a baby face do that to two baby faces after, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a lot of sense for a guy that's – now, you see, that would have been – a thing where you have Fox come out, look at him, you know, kind of give it the look like, you know, I've got the shot, and then he says, you know, I'll see you fucking next month, and the reason why you see him next month is so people will come next month.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah.
There has to be some sort of ability for people to carry on coming to your show. Like, that has to be, you have to leave people with a sense of what the fuck's going to happen next. And when you run once a month, the importance of leaving people with that what the fuck's going to happen next moment is just that much more important. It's not WWE Raw. It's not, you know, SmackDown, where, nah, fuck it, yeah, we'll be back in 2 days.
Yeah,
no, don't forget about us. We'll be back in 2 days.
Dude.
You know, you don't even have the ability to forget about them because it just happens so quickly. As opposed to CZW, where it's like, if the show ends lackluster, the next one could pass and you go, oh, fuck, I completely forgot.
Yeah.
Oh,
the
shit,
only problem that you're doing right there, you're trying to make sense, and they are not on that page. So
they just not feeling that. I understand, you know.
So I have a shitload more to talk to you about. I think now that we've passed this, and we'll talk a little more CZW and different stuff, you know, indies and everything else. Got a lot of stuff, but I'm gonna take a little break. But when we do this, here's the funniest thing. Now, you had your altercation on Sunday with this guy was half retarded and, you know, took serious offense to your stuff. Now, on Monday, last night, all of a sudden, Reggie, you know Reggie.
Of course, yeah.
Yes, everyone knows Reggie. Well, he posted, like, what do you guys want me to do a video about, Obama or my religion thoughts? And I'm like, oh, please do religion. This is so fucking perfect. Please do religion.
My religion sucks.
So he did 8 minutes on fucking religion. I cut it in about in half because I can't take that much. It's just I cut out the most important and hilarious part. And we'll take a break on that and enjoy. And we'll come back and do this. All right?
All right. Sounds good.
But I've been questioning this too. Because I do believe in afterlife. I do believe in spirits for some reason. I believe in ghosts. I've said this time again. Heaven. Could we have fun? Like, what's heaven like? Do they have the type of technology that I like? Do they have video games? Do they have wrestling? I mean, what will be up in the sky in heaven? What can I do? I mean, will it be the paradise or will it just be boring, per se? Or not anything to have fun, like what I do now? Because, you know, I play video games, I chill, I talk about wrestling, I watch MMA, I watch martial arts.
MMA in heaven.
Boxing. So, I mean, what can we do in heaven? And that's what I've tried to say. But I just don't understand that type of part, that type of stuff right there. I kind of get confused. And the atheists, I don't believe in the Big Bang Theory because we had to come from somewhere and something. And then I asked before, where did God come from? How was God alive? Or was he always here? I've asked that when I was a little kid. How did God get here? Didn't God have parents? How would he just be there for eternity and forever? Was he always there? How? I've wondered that. Because it's this stuff that you would like to ask. How did this happen? Or, I'm curious to see how this played out. But, yeah, I mean, we have crazy Christians out there. In this example, Jim Jones, he used, I guess that's what makes people turn into atheists, because crazy Christians out there, and there are some, that Westboro Baptist Church family, it is a sin. The hate. I don't hate anybody. I dislike people. I'm going to say that right now. I dislike a lot of people. Okay, but hate, I use hate as like a figure of speech. I don't really, if I say, I hate somebody, I hate this group, I say that as a figure of speech. I don't really hate them. I really strongly dislike what they do. But for somebody to say, oh, God hates homosexuals, or God hates atheist people, or God hates this. God hates prostitutes. God hates that. I mean, it's total BS, okay? Because you're sinning also. I mean, what makes you holier than thou? Oh, you sit there, some of those preachers at church said, oh, you're going to be condemned. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to be condemned. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. And then you have a little boy say, oh, God hates homos. This is what makes religion at the shape it is in now. Because of people like this is the reason why. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, woo. Oh, those people in church faking when the music comes. Let me tell you something. Okay? That is pathetic. When people like, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When they play in the church music. But as soon as the church music goes off, they shut up. That's weird, isn't it? Because some people go to church to fake. I will do this, continue this in my next video. How people at church be faking. But this is what I think about religion and versus atheism. Atheism, I mean, hey, most atheists I came encounter with or seem to be very hateful. But anyway, remember to subscribe. Click that circle with the plus sign in it. Click that subscribe button. Like I said, I'm doing more commentaries. I love doing commentaries. Better than doing face videos, because face videos are kind of boring. But, yeah.
On your eye.
My thoughts on religion. Until next time, guys. Peace out.
So, yeah. That's Reggie. So why are you so hateful, Joey?
I did not understand a single thing that he just said.
Fantastic. What will he do in heaven? Do they have video games? Because that's all I want to know. If they don't have MMA in heaven, because I do enjoy MMA, I'm not down. check the no box on that.
You know what's the biggest question about that? Is how would any of that be relevant to you if you were dead? You think about that? Like, are you going to be dead and watch a television show dead, or like an event dead, and be like, man, I can't wait to, you know, be dead and not be able to go see that, or what does it matter? You're dead.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
You call me a retard?
Pretty much. It's just, he's just fucking hilarious at times. Sometimes it's not even close, but this one kind of hit on the mark to me. I liked it. He's something else, that guy. What can you do? Just hope he's entertaining sometimes. So, completely random thing before we get back to wrestling. I listened to Stern Show from Monday, and I had no idea that this thing existed. Apparently, there's a fetish, and there's actual, like, conventions and everything that surrounds this, and they call themselves bronies. And
what is
that? Well, that is where you find the My Little Pony cartoon sexually attractive, and you beat off to it, and you and you gather with other people that like to beat off to My Little Pony cartoon, and some dress up as ponies, and you know, I mean, they goes as far as you would ever want to know it goes, but holy shit, that's both disturbing, hilarious, enlightening, and,
Now, what would happen for you to make that assumption, or not necessarily that assumption, but I wonder how you would make that connection. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, the connection between, maybe that's not even, like, making sense of the idea of, like, furries, where maybe you secretly want to fuck animals, like, that's your
right.
deal. Like, is it, how are cartoons sexually arousing, especially ones like, for example, like all those Japanese things where they're getting raped by tentacles and shit.
Yeah,
oh, fighter! And then, you know, they're getting fucked right. by 10 dick demons from hell or something. At least
right.
that's remotely sexual. But at least, you know, image-wise, even though it's cartoon. But My Little Pony? What the fuck?
Yeah.
They're called bronies?
Bronies. And as Howard started, Howard even pulled it out and he said, oh, it's kind of like a jabroni. Isn't that the Iron Sheik's thing? Yeah. He had his guys out there interviewing these people, and the dudes, you know, they were like, you know, what's your favorite part about a My Little Pony? And it was like that sweet pony ass was like the favorite response out of any one of these people.
Sweet pony.
It's fucking hilarious. Oh, man. Like, they know all the names. They have the toys. They dress like them. I don't know.
You can think it. Somebody's into it. It's as simple as that.
This is why the world is supposed to end at the end of the year. Honestly, it's not Mexicans. It's this.
They didn't predict it. It's the absolute randomness
it's
and
bronies.
Randomness. It's bronies. you know what it really is? I think that this must be some part of it. People just have gotten way too much. Like, we've just gotten way too much on every level. People have gotten too much sexually. They've gotten too much stimulus mentally. So now they have to literally come up with things to be fixated on. You know what I mean? Like, when you're 13 years old and you can just, like, I don't know if you remember being 13 or 14, but it's like if one of your friends had, like, a VHS of porn, it was like, holy shit.
Yeah, you were like, so, you're like,
oh,
fucking ringing them up.
Yes. Oh my God.
Can I
so
borrow
lucky.
That?
Yeah, dude. Can I borrow? Oh, dude, if your mom catches you with this, I didn't give it to you. Like, it's like the biggest thing on the face.
Someone had a handgun with the serial number scratched off.
Yeah. Oh. So everybody always had like that one thing, but you know, now kids, like, it's just like, you know, they're 12 years old and they're like, oh, what are you watching? Like, oh, Gaddafi getting stabbed in the asshole with the stick.
Man,
you know, like,
kind of bored.
Yeah, I'm just bored. What are you watching? Oh, you know, I got all this porn, you know, I'm just watching hundreds of streaming live porn of all crazy shit. Dude, you're 13. You don't even remember September 11th. How do you have all this shit? You know, like, that's their lives now, so it doesn't even make sense to us. But that's what it's come down to now. We have to, like, create these weird fetishes and things to be fixated on because people have nothing. They had everything else. So they got nothing to fucking to be into.
Yeah. I blame Kurt Angle for this.
Booker, I want to have sex with your wife. And I'm not just talking any kind of sex with your wife. No. I'm talking, you know, that kind of bestiality sex with your wife. You know, what I want with your wife, Charmel, I want to have that kind of perverted sex.
I think that's where it started. I don't have a good timeline on it, but I don't know if that's where I pinpointed it.
You know, I forgot about that, and I could tell you that it's probably the most honest exchange between two guys that you want to get another guy angry. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It
I want to have bestiality sex with your wife.
I want to have bestiality sex with your wife. Oh, but, like, I completely forgot about even that storyline in general, like, in the sense of, like, imagine a dude straight up just saying to another dude, hey, man, I want to fuck the shit out of your wife because she's hot. It's such a simple thing. And it's like, you know, every guy goes through his life knowing that, like, if he has an even mildly attractive girlfriend or a mildly attractive wife, that every dude in the world is basically trying to fuck them. They go through that. Like they mentally come to terms with it, where they're just sort of like, yeah, you know, dude's trying to fuck my girlfriend, just used to it, you know? But never does that really happen that somebody actually, you know, calls him out on it and actually goes and fucking says something about it, you know?
Yeah.
Never do you ever really see that as a confrontation that would really happen in a program where it's just like, a guy came up and was like, listen, man, I really want to fuck your wife.
Not
I
even
really
regular style.
Yeah, I want to fuck your wife's brains out. Like, nobody's ever said that. So, I mean, you got to give Kurt Angle credit for that. That's
Well, he's crazy, so I guess it makes sense. Like, he drinks differently.
Yeah. I fast forward to him circling a mini mart for fucking Raka Khan.
There he is. And I guess that makes sense. Nobody ever pointed, you know, nobody else in wrestling ever said, hey, man, why didn't you just have a dude saying, I want to fuck your wife? And somebody just must have been like, really? No, nobody's done that before? None of us have ever said that? And now, like, they've always been, like, you know, there's always been the whole, like, I'm going to send you home to your wife, or, like, you know, your wife's a pretty, you know, blah, blah, blah. There's never been like, you know what, I really just want to fuck your wife in the mouth. I really want to do that. He was the first one to say that. Congratulations are in order. It's amazing he's dead and his head hasn't fallen off or he's ended up in a wheelchair. So, Kurt,
yeah.
I'll follow to you, buddy.
Crazy. Another crazy thing. I was about to watch Raw, and then I decided, well, I did watch Raw, but first I watched an episode of Cheaters on my DVR. And it was not only just an episode of Cheaters, it was a midget episode of Cheaters, which is so much better. And I was just kind of not paying attention a little bit, and then, you know, the commercials started. Normally I fast forward to the commercials. Well, a commercial that came up was pretty fucking entertaining. A bunch of 80-year-olds on fucking national TV talking about penis pumps. And they're like, here's this, and they show that. And me and a girl look at each other, and we're like, is that, wait a minute, is that? And, yeah, it was like 80-year-old dudes being like, you know, well, worked for me. And the next thing you know, it's like, erectile dysfunction, this and that. And apparently it's covered by fucking Medicare, which I don't understand whatsoever. But
oh, that's great.
Yeah, they show this thing. And then it's just the weirdest pitch in the world, because it's like, here's the penis pump. Yeah, life's good now for us. And then it shows, like, dude laying on the ground underneath, like, a tire swing, spinning his 80-year-old wife above him. Like, I'm like, where does that happen? Like,
you see, you're talking
your
to the
cock.
Wrong.
Like, what are you doing?
You're talking to the wrong person here, because I'm a firm believer that Viagra should be covered under health insurance, all these different things, because I think it's a little unfair that we treat old people like they just want to stop fucking. I think that's unfair.
But,
I think it's
The pitch for it, come on. I mean, then they show, you know, this 80-year-old couple sitting on the couch with the dog licking their face, and it's just like, guess what I'm doing, puppy? Not to stick my cock in a vacuum, I know that much. Like, what? Why is a dog involved in this commercial at all?
It's kind of strange, though. I mean, it's that we're all trained to think this way, that we like to think that all people, no matter, you know, whatever walk of life they are, like, we like to think that apparently all people that are having sex are attractive young people. Like, we can't wrap our head around the idea of, like, two senior citizens, like, grinding on one another, sweating and drooling, and just, barely into it. Hard-boiled eggs are going on the fucking stove in the next room over. There's nothing really attractive about it. Like, did you leave the coffee burner wrong? Like, that's probably way more of the majority of the sex that occurs than, like, some real, you know, sexy girl with, like, a real nice Victoria's Secret bra on, and some dude with, you know, 5% body fat, you know, with a big, giant, or throbbing dick. And, like, that doesn't happen. If anything, the first is what's happening more often than not, which is the two unhappy old people, drinking Folgers and having awkward sex, and then going and, you know, watching The Price is Right and Cheaters.
And petting their dog, apparently, and fucking spinning their wife on a tire swing. I just don't even know 80-year-old people spin their wife on a... Who goes on a tire swing at 80 years old? Let alone fucking.
You know who does that? People that own fucking penis pumps.
Apparently. That's what the commercial told me.
Hey, let's be honest. Who would you rather have to spend the weekend with? The really old couple that sits there and the guy goes, nah, I stuck my dick in a vacuum so I could fuck asshole. Or would you rather be around the old couple that's like,
Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I guess, man, that's a rough call. Because
oh, I,
usually,
be
I just don't want it to come up. Yeah, I don't want neither
oh,
to come up.
Get it?
Yeah. Like, if you can keep both
vacuum
of those things to yourself, I'm fine with it, you know? Either couple is great. Just shut up.
I think that I would prefer the cock vacuum couple, because at least they, you'd know you'd get some laughs out of them. They would be funnier. They would easily be funnier.
Yeah.
I only hope, dude, I only hope when I'm, if I make it to being an elderly man, that I'm still going to look at a 25-year-old girl's ass and just be like, that's right. I really hope that is the guy that I am. I really hope that I'm not
going
that
to the vacuum.
Yeah, going to the vacuum.
I got you in a vacuum in my future, baby.
I've got a mental camera and a vacuum with your name on it, baby.
Oh, man. Just shocking
point,
as shit. That's a commercial.
Oh, yeah. Well, at that point, Instagram will be built into our eyelid, so it won't be an issue.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, just... There's no way I could not bring that shit up this week because it was like, midgets cheating on each other. Well, that's pretty fucking interesting. It's like, oh, commercial, let me fast. Wait, what the fuck is going on here? All right. Wait a minute. So that really?
Well, you know, you can only get classy advertisers on a show like Cheaters with Midgets.
That's very true. It's not like they broke, you know, The View and then went into a penis pump ad. Not that that's classy, I'm just saying.
The Best of Bach Volume 3 wasn't thinking about advertising on Cheaters that week.
Yeah.
For some reason, they ruled that out.
Yeah, so I skimmed Raw a little bit and the pay-per-view a little bit. And I only have so much to say about it, but...
My condolences on both. They were both pretty fucking horrible this week.
It's
just bad.
That's the only thing that made me feel better about CCW is the fucking WWE pay-per-view on Sunday.
Yeah. It's just a reminder to you of just how bad even the people that have the money and supposedly have all the talent are. You know what I mean? Like, you have to remember that, too. Like, that's sort of like one of the things when people used to pick on TNA for getting 1.0 ratings, and I was like, well, WWE did get a 3. And they're clearly, you know, spending way more money and are the biggest company in the whole fucking world. So if they're only doing 2 times better than them, maybe we need to not lay into them so harshly, you know? Maybe they don't deserve as much shit as they're getting, you know?
Yeah. I think Nina just posted the link to that fucking god-awful commercial in the fucking chat, but, I don't know, man. The Money in the Bank SmackDown thing was pretty good. I thought Tyson Kidd did pretty awesome. Dolph Ziggler is just a fucking bump animal. Probably, like, a little too much, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I worry for that kid. I mean, that fucking bump he took onto the chair where he took, like, the Beal toss. I was like, God damn, does he know
when
he
got thrown over the table?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, holy hell, he knows he's got to fucking work tomorrow, right? Like, Jesus.
Yeah, fuck, man. I mean, the one spot I thought looked cool as shit, and I honestly thought that, like, I don't know what happened there that he felt the need to do that, but that was the Tyson Kidd. I thought Tyson Kidd did really well. All of a sudden, they decided to give him some kind of fucking something. And he did that thing with the ladder and then did sprung off of that and did like a sunset flip powerbomb type thing. But Dolph Ziggler found a way to make that a front bump. Like,
I think it was just that they just blew that fucking spot, which is not hard for these guys to blow these spots because they don't do them often. So that's not one of those things. Like, I'm not saying that they should do them often, but I'm just saying that clearly they're going to fuck them up when they do them, you know, twice a year.
Sure.
If you say, hey, we're going to do this, and it sounds great in your head, it's like, cool, but, and they know you're physically capable of it, it doesn't mean that you can do it because you think you can do it. You haven't done it in 6 months.
Sure.
It's as simple as that. But, oh, God, the pay-per-view and Raw were just
you know, there's no other way to describe them other than painful.
Another thing that I wanted to bring up, because I know you guys have been talking about it a lot on Wrestling Soup, is you guys are of the popular belief that AJ should get kicked in the face or something like along those lines. I would normally agree with you, but you got to remember, this is the company that if you've played any of their WWE video games in the past 3 years, you can't work a mixed tag without getting disqualified for Irish whipping a chick. Like, they do not want to push that.
Wow, really?
Yeah, like, you can work any mixed tag you want. If you so much as lock up with the chick, DQ, the match is over. Like, they are not doing any of these Dudley bumps or any of that bullshit anymore.
Wow, that's shocking. I didn't even hear about that before. I had no idea that was even a thing that they even, you know, implemented in the games. I had no idea.
Yeah, I think there was at least a year or two that you could not even pick a chick within a dude match. You couldn't do it. And then they more or less made, like, the mixed tag. You can work that stipulation, but don't even come close to, like, in a chick gets in the ring on the past one. I think I got last year's one. And the chick gets in the ring, and they start counting. Like, you have so many seconds to get the fuck out of the ring and let the dude in.
Oh.
Or the match is over and you lose. I don't know about a go to sleep on AJ anytime soon. Even though I agree it would be good, it would look right. I really think on some behind the scenes stuff they're really fighting kind of dudes putting it on a chick.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just that for the most part they need to start realizing that these boundaries or whatever the hell they're putting on themselves is restricting their ability to actually get heat. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they understand that it's just not going to work to tell these guys, to just tell the audience, oh, these are the bad guys. Just hate them.
Right.
just don't like them. Well, why don't I like them? Oh, you know, just don't. It'd be really nice of you if you just hated this guy. We'd really appreciate it. We'd really appreciate it if you could just boo Ziggler. I mean, like, we'd really appreciate that. Well, what did he do wrong? Well, you know, he works really hard and he's really good. But you know, we'd really appreciate it if you could just be really angry that he's out there right now. I mean, that'd be wonderful if you could do that.
Yeah.
Well, we have no reason.
I'm, just for me. But I might be wrong for saying this, or no matter how bad it might sound, it's the truth. I think Kofi and the Truth looked like they were going to court on the pay-per-view. I don't know what the reason for that was, that they had to get all suited up to sit there and watch a match, but they definitely looked like they were going to a probation hearing or something.
Well, you have to remember is that they're the champions, so they have to dress classily.
Yeah, why not? Yeah,
you know, like when
John
Cena's the champion and he shows up in shorts and an oversized shirt that is brightly colored.
That's clearly the way to go.
Professional shit like that. You got to look like a pro. You can't just dilly-dally around in jean shorts and
you got to wear a suit and have an imaginary friend. That's clearly professional. An imaginary child friend. That's even better.
Yeah, that's not slightly strange in a way. But
No. You know, at least he's not a brony.
Yeah.
He could be patting a pony on the head before he came to the ring. But.
Hey, man, who knows what he's into? We have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, he does just kind of grab low. It could be anything. Jimmy could be a pony.
Yes. So long story short, WWE was depressing this week.
Yeah. So then Monday, they came out. They actually worked, I don't know how you felt about it, but I thought it was actually a pretty good match against Titus and Black Cena.
No, I missed that. Did I miss that? Titus and Black Cena. I'm sorry. I was thinking you meant Cena and Black Cena were having a match. No.
Kofi and Truth wrestled them. It didn't come off that bad. It seemed to actually flow pretty well.
See, I really just think that Titus O'Neil guy is just, there's no helping him. I just think there's really no helping him in the ring. It just looks so bad and unsafe and just awkward. But if they're going to keep going with him and keep going with them, I guess we really have no choice but to deal with it.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
But then again, when in the history of wrestling have you seen two black teams really go at it?
Yeah, probably never. So it was probably a lot of pride going on in that one. I don't know, man.
Or just a lot of really, really strange booking.
Sure.
They're just thinking to themselves, like, they're like, oh, I got all these black dudes hanging around. We're going to put them in tag teams and then face off against one another. There we go. That'll kill 8 weeks.
Yeah. And then when they finally sign a team like the Briscoes, does it not look racist? I don't know how to segue that so it actually looks good.
Yeah, that's how you get heat, though. You send out the rednecks against the black guys. You do it without pointing out the fact that there's a rich history of them hating each other. That's how you do it. You have it. Because what you have to do is, for a lot of these things to work without them knowing, you know what I mean, without it being clear as day, is it has to play into people's already built-in subconscious feelings on things. So, I mean, obviously, if you were to send out two guys sitting there with big Confederate flag shorts, or you don't even have to go that far, but just to make them talk with Southern accents and be white guys that look like hicks, and you send them out there against two black dudes, people are going to have a reaction to that whether they like it or not.
So you're saying no Confederate shorts, so the Briscoes need new gear, is what you're saying? Or?
Oh, well, it's fine on the indies, but I don't think
it's not going to work? Oh, okay.
Do you know what would be the problem? I could tell you what the biggest problem would be. If they put on those Confederate shorts and started working out in WWE crowds in the South, people would start cheering them.
Yeah, that clearly, yeah.
They would.
Florida championship, they'd be over.
they try to make it be like, oh, these guys are like, these are the heels, and people would be like, yay! Yay, you hate things. We do too.
Yeah, I remember to a certain extent too, and I brought this up before, but when they had the Rockin' Rebel doing this thing in CCW, and he was doing he would come out and just spill racist everything. And there was definitely a certain point where the crowd would be pretty much silent, and then someone would yell, "Say something racist!" It's just like, this is not supposed to be a face. Okay.
Well, it's because I think that there's also a part of people that, once again, they're in on the joke. They know that it's fake. They know that it's not real. So for him to even say something like that, it's just kind of funny because they know what he's trying to do. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, at this point, only an idiot would truly believe that. But if they didn't go that far, if it was just kind of like they're watching it and say to yourself, oh, you make your own assumptions. You're supposed to leave people to make their own assumptions on a lot of things in wrestling. Like, it's not supposed to be a, hey, do you get it? It's because he's black. It's supposed to be in your mind, you go, oh, that's good. Now he's a black dude. Or, oh, this guy's a fucking hick, and he's in there beating up this black guy. Probably deep down, he really hates him.
Yeah, it shouldn't go that deep, I guess. Well, I mean, Jericho attacked Ziggler on Raw. I don't know if I'm the only person to notice this, but Jericho's eyes were fucked. I don't know what he was doing, but his eyes couldn't have been any redder.
I think Jericho's just getting older in general. I think that's what it is. Like, I think he's kind of aging rapidly, though. It seems strange. I mean, I feel like he sort of hit a wall, which maybe he's just working himself too hard. I mean, maybe that's what it is. It's because
his
Jericho,
eyes were fucked.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, he's always been notorious for looking like a baby. You know what I mean? Like, even into his 30s, he looked like a young guy. Like, he looked like a young, healthy guy. But maybe he's just working too hard now. Maybe he's just doing too much with the wrestling schedule and doing the band. And he's not. And he's married and has kids, too. I don't think he's just a single, crazy, wild, wheeling bachelor. So he's probably just exhausted.
The guy's probably just fucking tired.
I don't know. Got to go back and look at his eyes on that one, because that was one of the first things I caught. I was just like, holy shit, dude. What is he doing?
You know
his pupils almost blended with the white parts of his eye.
If let's suppose that he was actually fucked up, I think that would be a rare instance of people actually saying to themselves, wow, I didn't think he had a problem. Like, let's just say, like, out of somewhere, like, they were just like, oh, Chris Jericho had to go to rehab, which clearly I'm completely jumping the gun because there's been absolutely no mention of him saying that. It's just, you know,
right.
Saying that his eyes were fucked up. But I suppose that was to happen. I think that would be an incredibly rare instance in wrestling where people went, fucking really?
Mm-hmm.
Jericho had a problem? Like, I think people would actually be surprised. But I don't think that's the case, man. I think he's probably just really beat to shit and tired, which is understandable.
That's possible.
I wonder what's more exhausting or harder on somebody. The presidency, where they, you know, in the 4 years that someone's a president, you see how much they age, or the 8 years they're a president, or working for the WWE for 4 years. Because, Jesus Christ, look at John Cena, dude.
Yeah, well.
I mean, holy fuck. He has aged like an old onion in the fucking sun. He looks like crap compared to the way that he looked 5 years ago.
I don't know, man. Well, speaking of Cena, he said he's cashing in next week and he's doing that whole thing. But I don't want to win it like a punk. Next week will be fresh and all that. And I saw your response to it and saying, well, back to the mid card for you, CM Punk. Do you think that's really honestly what's going to happen?
Oh, fuck yeah. That's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, have we not noticed that the one thing that remains consistent about WWE, at least in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, is that it's like all roads lead back to Cena and his title and his main event match. All roads lead back to that. That's
cool.
It. He is the finale. He is the end point of everything. If WWE was a story, like if it was just one consistent story that happened every single day, it would be wake up in the morning, brush your teeth, eat breakfast, go to work, come home, eat dinner, John Cena.
Yeah.
That's what it would be. If WWE was a story, that's how it would play out. And you'd say to yourself, oh, wait, but John Cena doesn't even fit in there. And you'd go, oh, come back.
Well,
that's how
I
it
mean,
works.
When you think about it, in recent history, Cena's still been the main event. And even with the title, Punk has kind of been mid-card. So he's held the title, so... You know, because they put the match on fourth or whatever it was, they, you know, he's technically not a mid-carder. Just the fact that if he does drop the strap, does that immediately just make him a mid-carder? Or, I mean,
oh yeah, he's back to the fucking drawing board again. But that's one of the biggest problems as far as that title is concerned, is now it's so aligned with being John Cena's title. And not only does that, it's so aligned with being John Cena's title, is that, like I said, since all roads lead back to him, there is no equal to him. So you can't not have him have the title, and then you also can't have anybody else kind of keep it warm. So he can that can be like a build for a want or desire for him to have the belt. Because there is none. There is no heel that is equal to him. There is no other babyface that is even in the ballpark of as famous or as popular as him, or not even necessarily popular, but pushed as him, that there's really no way for people to build up a desire for him to fucking win. You can't do that. I mean, there is no Undertaker. There's no Rock. There is no, Steve Austin. There is no other, if you can count the main eventers on one hand that are all on one level, then you're doing great, basically.
Yeah.
If you can count them all on one hand and they're all on that level and they're all doing great, then you're doing well. Right now,
you couldn't count the main eventers on a Ninja Turtle hand. Which, if you remember correctly, the Ninja Turtle
like
hand is merely three fingers. Right now, it's John Cena or bust. That's it. They put so many eggs in that fucking basket that if tomorrow something was to happen to John Cena where he couldn't wrestle anymore, I don't know what they'd fucking do. I really don't know what they would not necessarily what they'd do, but what they'd think they were capable of doing.
Nah, I hear you. I mean, there is that cookie cutter, you know, what they've wanted to use as their TV guy, their flagship or their poster boy, whatever you want to call it. But the thing that I think is a little bit different about today's wrestling is your CM Punk's and your Daniel Bryan's are kind of still up top, like on the list of guys who are actually over. Where, I mean, back in the day, I mean, look how hard it was, you know, well, obviously, you know, sore subject or whatever, but how hard was it for Benoit to get over with his fucking wrestling ability?
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, and that's fine, and you have to give credit where it's due as far as Daniel Bryan is concerned, which is, do we all remember how badly people used to fucking shit on Daniel Bryan? It's, oh, he's gonna be so boring. He's just boring and bland and this and that. Oh, how do you know? He can't cut a fucking promo. Well, the landscape of WWE is so piss poor right now that look at Daniel Bryan. Look at what he's doing. Look at his facials and his body language and what he's able to convey in these promos. He blows these people the fuck out of the water.
Sure.
And I understand that everybody's on the Dolph Ziggler pickle sniffing train, which I'm fine with because, yeah, he's going to kill himself and he's entertaining and he is a good worker. But I'm sorry, Dolph Ziggler is not conveying the level of quality of character as Daniel Bryan is. He's just not. He's just not there yet. And he may need time, but you have to remember, is Dolph's worked for what, 6 or 7 years? And Daniel Bryan's been doing it for, you know, fucking almost twice that. And look at all the experience Daniel Bryan has, the places he's been, the people he's worked with. He's just not going to, there's just not the ability for most people to catch up to him.
No, I agree. And the thing is like I catch nonstop feelings to people who just, you know, blindly shit on the indies because they refuse to watch them. But they were doing it back then. And honestly, CM Punk was doing the same shit in Ring of Honor. He was doing the same thing. Daniel Bryan was doing the same thing in Ring of Honor. And then now it's like, well, fucking, no, they're still not, fucking indies aren't, it's not, no, it's no good. Like, but there are your characters that can be turned into superstars on there, and you just refuse to pay attention to it. I mean, it's always been my feeling. I don't know.
Well, the problem is for these guys, a lot of these indie guys, to be that breakout and go to the WWE and really get a chance, if you have to be on that level of a guy like Daniel Bryan. Like Daniel Bryan, to not be a guy that's 6'1" and is in great shape and looks like, for example, a guy like Tyler Black, for you to not look like a guy like that and to break out, you had to be as good as Daniel Bryan, which is insane. I mean, that's just fucking crazy. Like, you had to be somebody that when you were 18 years old, you were trained by Shawn Michaels, and then you had to go overseas, and you were trained in Japan and England and in Florida and all these different, like, these are the things that you have to do to overcome not looking like a fucking 6'1" underwear model.
Right.
So those are that's all you merely have to do is be that well-trained, you know?
Yeah. Where is a Chris Hero that much different, other than them obviously getting the ball rolling on a really awkward standpoint, but where is Chris Hero that much different from a Daniel Bryan or, you know, a CM Punk who he did 90-minute matches with in 2002?
I think that in a lot of ways, Hero as a person, as far as not necessarily even a wrestler, but as a person, is just going to be harder to get over than a guy like Punk.
Yeah.
And I think that's mostly because I don't think Chris Hero has ever really settled into on what the fuck he is to begin with himself.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he's always been in and out of these transitional, like, heel, babyface, worships England, you know, worships, you know, English shoot-style wrestling, and then, he's, you know, now I'm knocking people out and I'm doing this, which you could say maybe that's the evolution of his character, or as he's gotten older, things have changed, or this or that. But really, I've never felt like he's settled into being anything in specific. Like, if I had to say to you, or, you know, I had to ask you, what is Chris Hero? I mean, answer that for me. Could you really comment? Like, what is he?
I mean, he's mostly been, like, a technical wrestler, really, really similar to what Daniel Bryan was. But to me, he always had more of a WWE build. He has an over 6 foot tall thing going for him. He can do, you know, that slow, methodical thing in the ring that the WWE likes a lot of the time. And I don't know. Like, I think he's pretty well-versed in a lot of things. Yeah, character-wise, well, the WWE is kind of going to mold that anyway when you get there. So whether he had one or not, like, you know.
Well, you'd hope. I mean, you'd really hope that they would do that. But the problem is I don't think they're capable of doing it anymore. So you kind of have to go to them with something. I mean, you have to remember is that if Santino Marella didn't become Santino Marella, how long would you think he would have had a job?
Yeah,
maybe.
But probably company created that character, right?
I'd say it was probably a lot more of him. You know what I mean? Like, I think that he kind of knew where he was going with that. Because if you remember when he came in, he was supposed to just be like, I'm an Italian guy, I'm in Italy, and I win the title, and I'm the Intercontinental Champion now, and it's a big shock. And they didn't really know that they were going to have him do that comedy kind of style. And now he's preserved himself and kept the job longer than most people. And when Santino Marella finally does get the axe, he'll be making that Jim Duggan money on the indies for at least 10 fucking years if he feels like doing it.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Santino's got a very entertaining thing going for him.
I
think he's a better wrestler than he gets credit for on top of it.
I'm sure of it. But, I mean, I do understand, like, even, like, Missionary's saying in the chat room now, like, he's a guy that is, you know, better, you know, performance-wise than most of the other guys. But the problem is they don't give a fuck about stuff like that. I mean, they really don't. And yeah, Daniel Bryan was leaps and bounds above performance-wise everybody. He still is. He still is.
Mm-hmm.
Over 90% of these guys. And what did it take for them to finally give the guy a chance and push him when he was capable of making a catchphrase in a T-shirt?
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, yeah. I mean, it's... Yeah.
It took him, hey, I'm the best wrestler in the world. Yeah, we know you're the best wrestler in the world. I got this catchphrase. Well, all right, then.
I'm going to say yes a few times. How's that go? All right, then. We're all rolling.
I mean, lest we forget that before he really got that yes catchphrase over, the plan for Daniel Bryan was probably Sheamus kicks him in the face, back to mid-card doldrums.
Yeah.
That was probably the plan before the audience basically went renegade on them and said, you know, please let us buy shirts.
Yeah.
Please let us buy maroon shirts that say yes on them. It will take you 5 minutes to design and we will buy them. And WWE said, oh, fuck, okay.
And I think that WWE, decision to do what they did on WrestleMania with him pushed him more than they wanted to.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, they unconsciously created a monster. They unconsciously got a guy over. And now I hope they don't think that that's how things are going to work from that point on, because, you know, sometimes you just stumble into shit. And I think that was a scenario where they did, because technically, or not even technically, but, you know, actually, they did all the wrong things.
Yeah.
Like, they did that whole fucking thing wrong, and it just so happened that people said, we forgive you, just now please give us cake. we don't mind that we just paid $75 for cake today, but if you just give us cake for the next month, we'll let it go. You know, we'll let it go if you just let us have cake now. And WWE said, okay, we'll let you have your cake. And I'm afraid of what they're going to do in the next few months, but you know, who the fuck knows? Maybe this Daniel Bryan will continue to do well as long as, you know, AJ, he's rolling too. She's the glue that's holding
Styles?
It together.
Oh, no, my bad.
Who?
I said it on the soup, and it's really the truth. I wonder if it makes his fucking blood boil that he knows that when wrestling fans... Oh, he's got it. When they let wrestling fans sit around and they're like, oh, man, how good...
You see what AJ did this week? He's just sitting there like, no. I didn't see nothing.
Well, on Thursday nights, he's doing fucking 450s to the outside onto a vest. And then some 95-pound Puerto Rican girl from New Jersey is doing a fucking cartwheel and then
skipping. She's fucking skipping.
And she's making more money than you.
it's something else. And for anybody out there, I have like another thing to say because it keeps coming up like Jay Lethal must be mad. Why? I'm sure he did everything he wanted to physically to this girl before you knew about her. Let's fucking get over it.
Now you know who she is.
You fucked her before she was anything.
This is an old thing that just about every dude that is in wrestling or has been in wrestling knows for a fact. You never bring a woman into the business, and there's one reason why. She will surpass you, or she will fucking ruin you. And that's usually, that's two reasons, but for the most part, they go hand in hand. You will either end up working $100 a fucking night for Ring of Honor, and she will end up in, you know, the main event of pay-per-views for WWE, probably making, you know, $250,000 a year, or which will just fuck you over. She'll piss off the wrong person, she'll piss somebody off, and you won't get fucking booked anymore. So Jay Lethal learned a very, very valuable lesson about women in the business. You just don't let them in. You just don't bring them in because this is how it will happen to you.
Yeah, it happens. I only hope to see AJ get smacked in the face by Ric Flair just once, sometime in the near future.
Nah, I just kind of hope Ric Flair just fucking drops dead. I mean, it's just that he's lived way too long, and he's gotten away with way too much. I'll see you later, buddy.
Not to quote any popular movies, but Hogan's got to go, man. Hogan has to go. Before any Flair stuff happens, Hogan's got to go.
I don't even kid yourself. Hogan, through the power of technology, is going to keep himself alive for another 20 years.
Disgusting.
Like, not even as a kind of, sort of, maybe, like an absolute. Like, we'll be seeing, you know, we'll be turning on the TV and we'll be like, Hulk Hogan celebrates his 70th birthday today. Guaranteed.
Well, I hope at least at that point we're still getting You Just Got Robbed promos out of fucking Ric Flair. Maybe he'll actually be on the street robbing people a la Nick Gage. But it just needs to still exist. You just got robbed. It's something.
Well, we've got another what? Let's put it this way. Will Ric Flair still be alive when Nick Gage gets out of jail? I'm going with yes.
Yeah, we could. I can hope at least. I don't know who else hopes, but Ric Flair entertains me. His senility is awesome.
If he gets out of jail, if Nick Gage gets out of jail and Ric Flair is still taking indie bookings, let's just book that match.
Yeah, absolutely. And have him cut the "You're gonna get robbed" chant before the match. You're about to get robbed, and see Nick Gage just gets super angry. He was in jail when that commercial happened.
And he wouldn't even get it.
No, he's just like, you're taking a shot at me and it's over.
Oh, poor Ric Flair. Poor Nick Gage. No, I'm just kidding. They both made their own bets. They fucked themselves over.
So, speaking of, you know, up and coming and all of that, what do you think they're going to do with Pac?
Oh, has that been confirmed yet, or is that still another one of those up in the air?
I heard it enough that I thought it was, but well, maybe I'm wrong. But
let's be honest. It's wishful thinking, and it's wishful thinking because I think that just about every single person that watches indie wrestling sees Pac and says to themselves, "Wait, why is this guy not signed? Like, why?
Yeah.
What more could they possibly need? Oh, dude, we're gonna need you to come back in 6 months when you're more jacked and fucking sweet as hell in the ring."
Like, we're gonna need you to come back in another 6 months when you're more in unbelievable shape and unbelievable in the ring.
Yeah.
Now, like, what the fuck? Like, that, he just stinks of money. Like, he just stinks of somebody that if they put him out there, and Evan Bourne, by the way, is a great worker. Like, Evan Bourne
is
great in the ring. I mean, I still think I still think Paul London, at the end of the day, is better than Evan Bourne. But, I truly think so. But I think, you know, Evan Bourne is unbelievable in the ring. But Evan Bourne, as far as it goes for, if I was to, you know, put him on TV and think he was going to sell shirts, he ain't got shit on a guy like Pac. He ain't got shit on the ability to sell merchandise. Merchandise, T-shirts, that's it. I mean, this guy needs to be hired. Like, period. End of fucking sentence.
Now, obviously, promo-wise, it's easier for him to work like a Dragon Gate where the most of the people don't have mic time. But, besides that, his in-ring work is fucking fantastic. I can't imagine where he wouldn't get over.
Well, I mean, it's and that's another thing. Like, he's so good in the ring that it's like people tend to forget a certain man, a certain crazy man who has spent many years in and out of WWE, who has had several drug problems, and was over as shit whenever he came back or left or appeared anywhere simply because of his abilities in the ring. And it was a little man named Jeffrey Hardy, Mr. Jeffrey Nero Hardy, if you will. And we forget of the existence of him, and Jeff Hardy never got over because he stood there in the middle of the ring and had an eloquent soliloquy. You know what I mean? Like, that was never him. There are some people that are capable of doing that. I think a guy like Pac could probably be on that list. You know
really?
What I mean? Imagine you're a 9-year-old. Take yourself back to being a 9, 10, 11-year-old WWE fan. Like, imagine that. And at the end of every single main event you've seen for your entire fanship is a guy giving another dude a fireman's fucking carry. That's all you've seen. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you're used to seeing. And CM Punk does his little kick to the face. And just, wow, that's pretty fucking cool. And, you don't even see a moonsault on WWE TV. You don't. You don't even see that anymore. And then you'll let that fucking guy go out there and do half the shit he does. People are going to be like, whoa, it's going to blow their minds. It's going to blow
even
their fucking minds.
Put him in one of whatever Money in the Bank matches and then tell me how much better the pay-per-view already is.
And I'm not saying, like, you know, clearly when we were talking about CCW earlier, I'm not saying fucking high spots are going to save your goddamn company. But I can tell you this much, if people are used to Nick Gage's bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios, like I said, throw some fucking blueberries in there, man, and they're going to shit their pants. If they're used to the same old, bland, you know, this and that stuff, every now and then, why don't you put some chocolate milk in your cereal? Holy moly. You know, and that's what Pac could be, to be some chocolate milk. Not, of course, referencing the black guys we were talking about earlier, but he could be their chocolate milk that they need every single now and then. If he's not hired or he's not in the process of being hired, shame on them. They're fucking silly, because now that the rumor's out there, you know that somebody's seen it, and you'd hope somebody saw it and said, holy fuck, no wonder we were rumored to hire this goddamn guy. This guy's out of control. If he does, I really, really hope that he goes to FCW and they don't fuck it up too badly.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Del Rey.
That's once again, great news. I don't think there's anybody that's going to
show what do they do with her?
Rumor has it they're going to make her a trainer as a woman, like a woman's trainer. Which
make everyone better so you can work them.
It's kind of a shame that that's the best place that they go with her. But we all know that, as far as WWE is concerned, right now you're AJ, where you're a character and you're capable of getting over, which, that's amazing. Or you're a Kelly Kelly. So basically you're a piece of parsley. That's really all you are as a women's wrestler in WWE right now, is you're a piece of fucking parsley.
So if Sarah Del Rey is going to get paid to train these girls, I hope she makes every single dime she can and comes out of it with some money and things go well. If she gets put on television, even better. She'll have some great matches.
Right.
And,
but if you put her in there with an AJ or Kelly Kelly, how much shit do you make them look like?
Oh, well, I mean, it's she's going to make them look like shit simply because she's so much goddamn bigger than her. I mean,
yeah.
Just look at when Eve got into the ring with AJ, I was like, what the fuck, like, Bolga? What are you doing in the ring? Like, like what is this? Is this a small child getting beat up by a centaur? You know, like, and Eve is probably a 5'6" fucking sexy as hell woman if you saw her in person, but she looks like a murderer. She looks like Goro in there against her, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
so, I mean, I don't know if that's a fair comparison, but, you know, I hope for the best. Hopefully Sarah Del Rey gets a lot of airtime.
Yeah, I hope so too, but I worry what they can possibly do because, I mean, you look at, you know, you got her versus Beth Phoenix, you got her versus, you know, a couple different people that you can actually put her in there with if they actually do bring back Karma, her Karma and stuff like that, but then those, you know, the little just FaceTime chicks, man, that's going to look bad.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. I mean, they're going to look bad, but you have to remember is that this company really, I mean, have we not noticed that WWE has no shame? Like, if wrestling never had any shame, it's never had less shame in the department of guys going out there and stinking it up in the ring. You know what I mean? Like, they've
mm-hmm.
never had less shame when it comes to, like, guys just putting on embarrassing matches. Like, just facepalm to the extreme. Holy shit. Like, what the fuck was that style matches? Like, they're completely unashamed. They're unashamed of that. So, I mean, who knows when it comes to these women if they're going to be able to even understand. I don't even think they would understand if Sarah Del Rey went out there and had a shitty match with, you know, I always reference them now even though they're gone. But if you sent, you know, Bella number 2 out there against Sarah Del Rey and Sarah Del Rey did the best she could to pull a good match out of them, something tells me no matter what they did, they walked to the back, they'd walk to the back and they'd say, yeah, good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you did good. No matter what they did, I have that feeling, you know?
Yeah, there's surely a lot of cluelessness going on there. I only hope for the best when you see actual indie names that have been, you know, over as, like, top names on the indies being mentioned as they're coming in. You're like, well, we got something, you know? I mean, how many months Daniel Bryan and CM Punk look like the top guys in the company, even though obviously Cena's that poster guy, but they looked like the most over guys for a while, and you just hope that more of those indie guys are going to keep taking these spots as the other guys, you know, pass on.
Well, you would hope that, you know, due to the fact that Punk has done as well as he has, that, you know, Bryan Danielson has done as well as he has, you would hope that this would kind of open up the door for them to realize, to be like, oh, well, oh, fuck, maybe we should really, you know, start taking a look at these guys. Maybe we should actually start paying attention to the people that want to be wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Not the ones that we choose to be wrestlers, but the ones that have made the life decision to pursue this thing, despite the fact that they're not making any money, and it's a completely thankless fucking job. And for the most part, people think you're a joke, and it's really expensive, and mostly pointless. You know, like, maybe we should look at these people that actually love it, and they've gotten to that point. So we can only hope that more and more people follow suit, but at the end of the day, I'm still concerned that it's mostly going to be idiots hired, and it's going to stay that way. But you got to, you know, keep your chin up when you hear about things like, you know, maybe Pac's going to get signed, and, you know, Sarah Del Rey is, you know, definitely under contract now, and that's great news. Hopefully they keep it up.
Yeah, I definitely hope so. So, I mean, as far as the indies and, yeah, I mean, well, from CCW and everything else that's going on, I mean, what do you think, you know, a company is to do to succeed? We'll start with CCW. Like, what can they actually do to turn the shit in the right direction and other than getting DJ the fuck out of the ring?
For the most part, the cat is completely out of the bag in that company. I don't know if they're going to be able to even do anything with their violence
stuff. I don't even know if the ultra-violent thing is going to work anymore. I've said it on the Soup a million times, and it's really the truth. In 1999, 2000, 2001, even all the way up to 2003, 2004, independent wrestling had it made in the sense of you could get two dudes of even relatively mild ability to have a match, and you could put 500-600 people in a fucking building, or even 300-400 people in a building, and your main event could be two assholes walking around hitting each other with trash cans, and people would be happy.
Mm-hmm.
That could be your main event, and people would be like, whoa, what a fucking great match. And if you broke a table, oh, boy, people went home fucking psyched. You know, you'd run down to the Staples, you'd pay $60 for it, the people would fucking chant the Dudley Boy shit for it. You know, one guy goes through the table and everybody shits their pants and everyone goes home happy. That's not the way it is anymore. Not even close. And a lot of people would blame companies like CZW, but that's actually too convenient. It's just that wrestling fans have just changed. Their tastes have changed. You have exposed that completely. Money in the Bank matches, they didn't even fucking work. Did you feel like they even worked?
Clearly putting the already main eventers in the other one is never going to work. Yeah. It was supposed to be an up-and-comers match, like a climb-the-ladder match, so to speak.
Well, that was garbage unto itself, but, you know, even like SmackDown, like a lot of the spots that they did, even ones that looked brutal, like people were still kind of like, oh, because that style is, you know, it's kind of gone, and it doesn't work unless it's people that somebody's emotionally attached to. And, you know, like we said earlier, there's 25 fucking guys in the first, you know, 4 or 5 matches on a 7-match card. It's completely lost. You know, there's no way for people to connect to them individually or build off them. So what do you do? You can't just let them, you know, smash each other in the face and hurt each other because they've already seen all that shit. So where do you go from there? And the only thing you can really do is to stop running in front of a crowd that is completely desensitized, or just start completely fucking with them. Just completely fuck with them to the point that they either stop coming or they start to accept the fact that this is what it is now, and you change shit around. Like I said, imagine if the first 3 matches on that card ended with feet on the ropes, schoolboy, O'Connor roll. By the time somebody hits their fucking finish and it's an actual something in their 4th match and that's how the fucking match goes home, you might actually get somebody to cheer.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, oh, fucking false finish, false finish, false finish, and nobody's there for any of them, and this is your first match.
Right.
15-minute long opener, you know what I mean? Your opening match is 15 minutes long and it has 2 false finishes, and you expect people to be hot by the 4th match? Come on.
I get that, but what I also, my opinion on this for a while has been, you know, back, you know, your 99s, your 2000, your 2001s, I think your promoters such as a Frank Goodman's were completely fucking spoiled. I don't think there was enough competition out there to even make it, you know. Now you have so many options. Oh, well, CZW doesn't step up. Well, fuck, Dragon Gate just tore it down, fucking spots from fucking start to finish of the show yesterday. Oh, well, shit, now Saturday CZW is doing something. I'm not fucking happy with it. You know, like, you know, you got Ring of Honor, Dragon Gate, Evolve, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, Chikara. I mean, there's companies everywhere just pushing the limits. And I think the indies is actually more alive than they ever have been, but it's a harder market to survive in because you have these other companies that are trying to do the best thing of the weekend.
Oh, yeah. I do agree with you on that. I mean, there's some weekends now where there's 2 or 3 iPay-per-views a weekend.
Yeah. Yep.
Where it's just like, oh, fuck. But one of the biggest problems, and especially, you know, CZW, for example, and even Ring of Honor. I mean, Ring of Honor is so guilty of this, it's nauseating. You know, I feel nauseous just thinking about how guilty they are of this shit. There's no characters. There are no characters. And you know, you don't have, when you say that, there's that fucking ignorant, snarky, dickhead fucking fan that sits there and goes, hey, what do you want, Duke the Dumpster Drossy?
oh, what do you want? You want a trash man? What do you want? Is that, what you want in wrestling? It's like, no, but you need to give people something that somebody's going to fucking care about. You have to give them a person that people actually have to fucking want to see. So many people sat there, it's already started to begin. People are already turning on a guy like Kevin Steen. I mean, big shock. That's what they do. But the reason why people became connected to this guy was because he's a fat fuck with a shitty neck beard who had a connection with people because he seems like a real person.
But he did get a lot fatter. He looks tremendously like Chaz Bono these days. And where do you go? Where do you go from there?
But absolutely, like, once again,
Dancing
like
with
I
the
said,
Stars. What do you...
It goes back though to Kevin Steen, who got himself over. He was the man, I guess you could say, in 2012, late 2011. He got himself over because he was a person, and on top of that, he was willing to just kind of expose himself and show his ass. And he didn't have to be that fucking tough guy, a la a guy like Davey Richards, who's just, I'm going to be the fucking man. That's my gimmick because I'm just so fucking tough. Kick me 6 million times and I'm just going to stand there. Well, that actually makes you a moron.
I have a mouthpiece in. All right.
Yeah. I'm going to take all these fucking stupid bumps and hit you a million times. For some reason, I'm going to hit you with these unbelievable finishers and you're going to kick out. Well, that makes you look like a pussy, and that makes him seem like a fucking idiot, because why is he taking all this shit and you're hitting him with all this shit and it's not going anywhere? Which
I'm kind of anti-mouthpiece in a wrestling ring. Like, honestly, there's too many people who've gone without it. And when you got to, like, stop mid-match to take it out, to yell at the other guy, then hit me again, and then put your mouthpiece back in, I think it takes a little bit away.
Which also, by the way, this whole stand there and, hit me again, like, mentality in wrestling, what the fuck? I mean, do we not already realize that people think this shit is fake as hell?
Yeah.
People already think the shit's fucking fake, and there's nothing they enjoy more than insulting people that watch it. So why even put yourself through the trouble of sitting there saying, hit me in the face, please hit me again harder, just so that way the people that are watching it are going to go, oh, that idiot, let that other idiot hit him.
Yeah. I mean, it is the Japanese style, and a lot of it, is taken over a lot of I remember, it's funny, I was saying a couple of weeks ago too, but the first time Goldberg went to Japan, he went over there and he worked Satoshi Kojima. And Kojima hits infamously hard, like he hits hard. So, and that's that style. Goldberg didn't know shit about that. He was squashing people in WCW, and then I think he did his little WWE run, and then he went over to Japan for a little bit. So he went over there. Kojima hit him with one of his forearms, and Goldberg instinctively lunge punched him in the face. Like, no fucking work about it. He just fucking freaked out. It was just funny as hell.
Because he's thinking he's getting fucking beat up.
You're trying to take me out?
Yeah, because that's probably what he thought. Because somebody probably in the power plant said to him, oh, these guys are going to fucking knock you out in the ring. And if they do, they're fucking with you. They're trying to take your spot, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know. That, to me, as far as an indie company is concerned, is first and foremost, they need to make people care enough that they're going to come to their shows. That's
right.
I mean, that I don't know how you think you're going to keep a company around by letting your guys go out and have these matches where people don't care. Like, they just don't fucking care. I don't know how much they're selling for DVDs. I don't know how much they're making in that department. Maybe it's enough to justify.
Can't imagine
putting,
much.
Yeah, but I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it's enough to justify putting 150 unenthusiastic people in a building. Maybe I'm wrong. I have no idea. But how much does something just – not only that, how much does it affect the quality of a product when the people that are watching it just don't give a fuck? I mean, it just comes off as garbage. Why do you think PWG has had two really, really hot years? Because if you watch one of their shows, a lot of the shit on their shows is really repetitive. That's a lot of the same guys having the same matches, kind of – they're doing crazy shit and they're being innovative and they're – clever
But a lot of it's them just kind of, you know, doing a lot of the same spots and doing a lot of the crazy shit and all the same matches. But the people there are just so fucking psyched that if you watch it as a wrestling fan, you say to yourself, man, I would fucking love to be in that building and experience that. And that was a lot of ECW's charm. And that was also a lot of late 90s WWE charm or WWF charm. How many people, when you were a kid and you watched Raw, or not even a kid, but when you were even a teenager at that point, or, you know, in your early 20s, when you're watching it, whenever you watched Raw, didn't you ever say to yourself, or didn't you always say to yourself, man, I wish I was fucking there to see that?
Yeah.
That would be so cool to be there right now. Like, wouldn't it be awesome? Like, I mean, even when I saw what happened when they came to town, if WWE had been in your town in 1999 every single Saturday, would you not have gone?
Sure, yeah.
I would have gone every fucking Saturday. And that's the feeling that you have to create. And you don't create that by having a live audience of people that don't give two flying fucks. Oh, well, we're gonna have these, you know, matches with the fucking million high spots so the DVD buyers will buy them. The DVD buyers they hear your crowd, you know, sneeze. You can hear a guy cough in the fourth row. They're not gonna buy the DVDs for much longer.
Right.
They have to be envious. You have to make people feel envious of the audience that gets to experience these live events. That's the way you have to get people to feel. That's why when a playoff game happens, people will spend $1,000 to go watch them. Because they think to themselves, you know what, I used to see people go watch these playoff games when I was a kid, and I said that if, you know, whomever ever made it into the finals or the Stanley Cup championship or any of those, that I would pay that fucking money and I'd go see it. God damn it, I would go see it. And that's the way that you have to make people feel about wrestling. But they don't get that. They just don't see it that way. You have to have that feeling of, you know, I always said, you know, that fucking guy, Gugu, you know, that Gulak is such an asshole and he's always stopping people from doing stuff. If that Drew Gulak ever gets in a match with Danny Havoc, gets his fucking hands on him and gets to put him into the barbed wire, God damn it, I'm going to pay my $15 and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to watch it and I'm going to love every second of it. Or is
right.
it, oh, that's going to be pretty funny when, you know, he whips him in the ropes.
Yeah. Well, it's everything is hard to top. Like, when I first got into CCW, it was like, holy shit, they're doing shit that was never seen before. So you had the Briscoes were just starting out. You had, you know, the SATs were just starting out. You had the Backseat Boys early years. You had Vandig, still had hair. He was, you know, going fucking ballistic. And, you know, Nick Gage, you had all this crazy shit going on. Rick Blade diving off of 25-foot walls until he broke his leg doing it. You know, he had tons of shit going on. There was just nonstop things you've never seen before. Eventually, you run out of new shit. And it's kind of hard to pump your brakes at that point and be like, all right, now we're doing 2 months of roll-ups. Like, that.
The only way that you get away with doing that, and this is true, the only way that you can switch things around is you stop making it about the crazy shit that happens and you make it more about the people that you fucking are, you just really like them as a person. You know what I mean? Every now and then you luck out and you get those guys that just connect with people so much. And yeah, they do the crazy shit and it's great. For example, I mean, how did I not mention Nick Mondo?
That was a 3-year flash in the pan, and okay, now find something else.
Yeah, I mean,
he worked all of 3 years.
Once again, though, he was that guy that had that ability with people. They just saw him and they just fucking liked him. That was it. They just, we just like you. We like how you look. We like what you do. You know, shit you do in the ring. Cool. We just like you. And that's what that emotional connection was. And I really do think that if Nick Mondo had decided to stick around, much like a guy like Drake did, and even though Drake still kind of dabbles in doing the deathmatch stuff, he'd just been like, you know what, I'm just going to have some fucking matches, and maybe every now and then we'll have a chair, or every now and then I'll throw a fucking table out there, but, you know, I'm just going to have matches. He could have gotten away with it probably for another year or two, because people just had that emotional you know, attachment to them. And that's what you need to build. But they don't, you know.
But I think Nick Mondo is a great example of exactly what we're talking about, in that he only tried to keep doing crazier and crazier stuff to the point where it expended his body of 3 years of wrestling. I remember he did try to go in there and wrestle, you know, Reckless Youth back then, and he'd go in there and try to do your straight matches, and they were pretty fucking horrible. Botchamania wasn't really around back then, but they would have a field day. And when it came down to Nick Mondo getting over, it was fucking him taking an unprotected fall onto a ladder off the top rope to the outside, and it was like, holy fuck, this guy's a maniac. Well, that shit lasted 3 years.
Oh,
and
God.
And then he's gone, and it's like, all right, CZW, what else you got for us? Like, well, the guy's gone. I mean, what do you... Jesus.
Well, I mean, they were still capable of, you know, creating some of these guys that, you know, personality-wise and character-wise could get over. But I just don't feel like they spent enough time capitalizing on the idea of the people that the crowd is connected or are connected to or were connected to. Focus your attention on them and getting them over. Not because they're the craziest guy or because they're the fucking, you know, best-looking wrestler. Like, for example, like a guy like Masada, where, yeah, Masada fucking, you know, he's finally getting over. He was really starting to get over for a while, and he was a big, beastly dude. But if he wasn't, don't just fucking force-feed him to people because, oh, big guy, it fucking looks like it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, you know, he looks like he fits the fucking role, so, you know, fuck it, let's just go with that. Make it easier on yourself. If people are really starting to have a connection to them or find them funny or find them interesting or like them, you know, lower your spotlight or, you know, focus your spotlight on them. That's why they're doing a good job with Sami Callihan, or they started to do a good job with Sami Callihan. It's unfortunate that the audience kind of forced him to be babyface. Like, they pushed them down that road. I mean, they didn't seemingly have a choice in the matter. You know, they did everything they could to make the guy fucking heal. I mean, he tried to murder Danny Havoc, and still people, yay! So, what's good, right?
Well, people like the badass, and, you know.
But what do you do when your crowd cheers a guy that tries to murder his opponent? Like, at that point, you just say, fuck it. You got your losses, and you make that guy a baby face, and you focus the spotlight on him. I guess that's what you have to do.
When Nick Gage is the top face in the company, that's clearly the blueprint, no?
Yeah. I mean, I think you got to really look at what your audience wants when your top baby face is a crazy, you know, drug, you know, it makes me sound like a dick for saying it, but it's a fact, a crazy drug-addicted man who does fucking bananas death matches where he's practically killing himself or almost died. If that's the guy that's your guy that's most over, fuck, all right, you got to look into what the crowd likes and run with that. Not necessarily that you need everybody to almost kill themselves, but you need people that... people just are connected to. And Nick Gage was a guy that people just fucking liked.
Yeah.
Much like Drake Younger was a guy that people just fucking liked.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a likable guy, and they liked him. And right now, it's the same thing that they experienced with A.R. Fox, where they had that three-way match where it was like A.R. Fox and two other guys who I've already completely forgotten their names, and people just, they like him. Fuck it. He's the guy. He's the one we like. And they've stuck with it, and they've sort of stuck with it, and they still cheer for them, and they still like them. So you got to, once again, focus the spotlight on the people that get themselves over and pay less attention to, you know, DJ doing his thing and him, you know, trying to cut his fucking promos. And that's it. Focus on who's working, and the people that aren't, either take them off the show or, you know, say to them, you know, hey, I can't book you this month. You need to go find something else, or we need to come up with something for you, and we'll call you when we got something that's ready, instead of booking four tag matches a show and an eight man.
Sure, yeah, and the thing is, it's weird. It's such like a lose-lose here, because, you know, you go with Nick Gage, and, you know, when that guy was doing what he was doing, you had your top baby face cutting promos where he said pussy, die, and faggot like at least five times per promo. So now where is somebody else going to just play like a, hey, man, I don't want no problems, just trying to do the right thing. Like, that's not even a good guy anymore.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's in a way, yeah, you set the precedent of that, where it's like that. But also you have to remember is that, you know, Drake Younger, once again, was another guy that was almost on the level of Gage, or is on the level of Gage, of, you know,
mm-hmm.
being over in that arena. And the same thing with Sammy. And, yeah, they do their promos and they're outlandish, but I don't think there's ever been a point where Drake Younger has ever said anything in the ring or in a promo that, with the exception of every now and then saying, ah, fuck, or ah, shit. You'd say to yourself, oh, man, he's a crazy out there guy. If anything, he cuts a lot of the typical, and I'm not saying that in a bad way, I'm saying a lot of the like typical, indie guy, indie style promo where it's, hey, guys, thank you all for coming out. You guys are the best, blah, 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 And that's not a bad thing, because clearly the people fucking loved him for it. But the, hey, guys, thank you for cheering for me tonight. But, my opponent, so-and-so, he's unbelievable. He's awesome. He's going to be a big star and this and that. And that's a lot of ways the right thing. But he was a nice dude. He wasn't sitting there saying, oh, I'm going to go fuck his mom.
Nah. Well, if you know Drake as a person, the dude is just like one of those just southern gentleman type guys. He's just one of those guys. He's just like the sweetest guy in the world. And honestly, Gage outside of the ring was really, really nice to the fans and everything. But Drake is just one of those guys that just like he could go and damn near die. And you'd be like, that's a great match. You'd be like, oh, man, I appreciate that. Oh, man. Oh, man. You shouldn't have. He's just one of those guys. Like, he's
don't be so
dude.
Nice to me. Don't be so nice to me when I almost killed myself.
Cut it out, man. it's the thing.
But you know what? And that works for him. And that
sure.
totally works for him. And that's honestly a great thing for that company. I mean, that's an awesome thing for that company.
Absolutely.
And they need to find another couple people that can have that personality to do it for them. Do I think it's a guy like Masada? Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? Who knows what it's going to be? But I can guarantee you this, if it's not one of the 25 fucking guys that are on your roster. In your first four matches. Then guess what? You need to get rid of them. And if it's DJ, if it's him, if you're not one of them, buddy, then change your fucking shit. Either change your shit or pull yourself off the fucking show. I mean, I understand, but if it doesn't work, if you're not working, then maybe you need to sit back and reevaluate your shit. That's it. I mean, I understand that. At this point, it's probably him taking a loss on every single show. So it's like, buddy, so now you're just going to take a loss on every single show when you could focus your attention and maybe even break even or make a little money? Is it that worth it for you to be in the fucking ring on the show? It's not. I assure you it's not. Go work somewhere else the other 3 weekends of the month. And, focus your attention on making the company a better place and not losing money. Which I can almost guarantee you they are, but that's just my own personal opinion.
That's the thing that bothers me with DJs. Not just, getting in the ring and taking a loss like he's trying to put people over. I mean, you look at some of the top people that were over. Sammy Callahan was on one of his biggest runs. DJ made himself feud with Sammy Callahan. Then he involved himself with Adam Cole. Then he involved himself with Matt Tremont was coming up pretty heavy. Yep. Then he involved himself with that. Then he involved himself with the Chris brothers. I mean, there's so much of that top talent that had to be working with DJ or just wasn't going to work. And I just feel like this is his, like he's kind of like a spoiled kid. And,
yeah.
I got twins, and one of them cannot be touching any toys in the room. The other one grabs a toy and the other one comes flying across the room. Like, no, I want that same fucking toy. So the crowd starts eating something up, and he's like, no, I want to play with it. Now you're going to watch me play with the toy because you guys like it.
That's the nature of the people that book wrestling and surround themselves with wrestling is they're there to vacuum their heat vacuums, and that's a lot of the people that are in charge of wrestling. I mean, it's such a
classic cheesy comparison, but clearly, I mean, we know a man who works for WWE who's in a position of power who does that quite frequently. You can ask CM Punk. You can ask a lot of the other guys that he's buried, and clearly they're not even on the same level of, financially or, importance in the business, but that's just a microcosm of that type of behavior. People in wrestling and people in life not only want to surround themselves, but when they encounter people that they can suction any sort of success off of, they will, more often than not, if not always, try their best to take from them. What I mean? Like, you just have to think about it this way. If your best friend or one of your best friends called you up and said, man, I got this new fucking great job, and I'm making tons of money, and I love being there, and it's just really, really easy, and, this and that, wouldn't your first immediate reaction be, hey, man, they need anybody? Hey, you need any heads down there? You need anything? And that's just the nature of people. It's to do that.
similar to this.
I'm your friend!
Very
simple. Okay. I'm your friend. Come on.
All right, buddy.
I'm your friend. Please. And that's exactly what happens with wrestling. And especially,
you ever heard of CM Punk, Kevin?
Have you?
No.
And that's what always happens in wrestling and in life in general. And I'm sure that happens all the time with, DJ Hyde, where he's in that position where it's like, hey, this guy's getting over. Well, hey, I book him. So why the fuck can't I book him to do something with me? Why the fuck not?
Yes.
I might as well go ahead and do it. And, all is well. I mean, it's just comfortable.
Go ahead and stick him, bro.
Yeah, go ahead and stick him, and he'll put some money in his pocket. But he can do whatever the fuck he wants to do because it's his money,
sure,
and it's his company, and whatever the fuck you want to say about it. But at the end of the day, is it going to help him? Is it going to further shit? I don't think it is. It's obviously not. So you got to stop and think to yourself: am I in the wrestling business for it to be a business and me to make money, or is it for me to entertain myself? And
right.
To get my jollies.
Definitely the big difference. Definitely.
Yeah, and that's really the most important part of it. It's sort of like, have you ever seen or ever met or encountered or liked a band that just plays new music and it just sucks and they won't play any of their old shit? And people sit there and they say, well, why don't you play your own shit? Why don't you play your old shit? We want you to play it. And they go, well, we don't give a fuck. Like, this is what we want to do. This is our thing. And it's like, fuck you, man. You got to go with, if this is your job. If this is your job and you need to make money, then you should be playing these songs or you should be doing this. Or, they say, well, fuck you. I got enough money. I don't give a fuck. We're going to play whatever the hell we want to. You know what I mean? It's like, what's their name? Radiohead, for example, is a band that they won't play that song Creep anymore. And that's their fucking song. You go see them, they won't play it. You know why? Because they say, well, we're tired of it. We don't want to play it anymore. It doesn't represent us. Blah, blah, blah.
Hold half your fucking tickets. That's all.
Yeah. Well, then how about that? Then we don't want to go. People don't want to fucking pay for it anymore. So you have to think about it as, is it worth it? If people said to them, we're not going to go to the show anymore unless you play this fucking song, would they start playing it? If fucking three people started showing up at the venue instead of 3,000, damn right they would.
Yeah,
but is it worth it? Is it worth your fucking pride? Is it worth all that? I don't know. Some people, maybe it is. They just want to play wrestler that bad. Believe me, I've known a lot of them. I've known a lot of those people that they're just so fixated on, getting to play wrestler, play promoter, play booker, that, they'll lose $1,000, they'll lose $500, they'll lose a hell of a lot more than that, a month, a year, and the whole point of it is for them to just, live in Candyland and be in their fantasy.
Yeah,
but,
that's what I mean, playing with this toy analogy instead of, actually trying to make something that other people enjoy. It's like, I just want to play with this. You can watch me, but I'm just going to
play. Well, not even necessarily. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes down to businesses and, making money, is if you're a grown man, it doesn't matter how much, you know, dignity you have or how much pride you have. I'd be a dildo salesman for $100,000 a year. There would be no doubt in my mind. I'd be a dildo salesman. I'd sit there and go, look at this thing. It's a big black deck. Go right up your ass. You want to pay me $100,000 a year? This is the greatest dildo on the face of the earth. You got to fucking
penis
buy this.
Penis pumps. You want to spin on a
Are you 80 years old? Are you an 80-year-old? You need this dick pump. You need this right now. But if you
Medicaid covers it.
Yeah, but if you were making $100,000 a year, would you not sell the dick pump?
Yeah,
I'd fucking sell the dick pump. Do you feel bad about the dick pump? Yeah, I'll feel bad about the dick pump when I'm out on my fucking boat on Saturday. You know, like,
yeah.
I feel real bad about it sitting on a fucking beach in Aruba drinking a nice, delicious pina colada. Yeah, I'll feel like a real dick about selling the dick pumps.
Yep.
But that's what it is. It's that business
doing
mentality.
Shots out of a dick pump.
Doing the dick pump shots. But, you know, it's that mentality of, are you going to be a businessman or are you going to, you know, you're going to play wrestler? Are you going to be
yeah.
in Candyland? You know what it is? I mean, I think that, you know, for example, a guy like you mentioned Goodman or a guy like Zandig, they were lucky enough to get to have the mix of that fantasy. Like, Zandig got to, you know, do his Candyland, got to kind of be in Candyland and be the star. And the same thing with Goodman. He was able to book himself on his own shows and be on these big cards and have matches in front of 1,000 people and still make money. I mean, they lucked out. That's what it was. But in this day and age, you don't fucking get that. You really don't. I mean,
yeah.
I
think Goodman's fortune was because there was no competition. Like, he could say as much as, well, I did it before them. Well, I think if they were there, you wouldn't have been doing it as well because, I mean, the products just got so much better, and it wasn't just, hey, recycled ECW main event. You know, that was also, you know, Low-Key versus Xavier on the undercard where people came back for, but he was so fixated on booking the old names over and over and over on the main event. He just considered it all a win because there was no one else to make money but him. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a lot of what it is. And also, like you said, you know, they have Dragon Gate down the street killing it. You know, Chikara's putting on great pay per views. When you spread your shit so thin, like, it's just, what can you do? And as far as somebody goes, like, for example, a company like Chikara, who I've mentioned a few times, they're putting on a product that's completely different. And is it, you know, finger quote, you know, slightly insulting or, you know, a little below what, you know, your normal wrestling fan would, you know, this and that, insulting to old school? Maybe, yeah, but they're doing something that a lot of other companies aren't doing, and it's called entertaining people, and they're interested
yeah.
in it, and they're having fun. And I think that's a word that is really missing from wrestling, is that it's not fun. People don't feel like it's fun. If you go to a CZW show or you even watch a CZW show, I don't feel like people are having fun.
Yeah.
I feel like the audience was led in there by fucking SS soldiers with machine guns. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just
yeah.
looking behind them for a fucking pile of shoes. They look miserable. Like, who took these poor individuals? Like, what do? They pull them off a fucking train and say, tonight you are going to watch wrestling, and that's all there is to it. You know, you have no say. It's wrestling or execution, you know? Like,
yeah.
They look fucking miserable. As opposed to, you know, a company like Chikara, where it's like, yeah, maybe they got wrestling ice cream cones and ants, but at least the people there are fucking thrilled. They look psyched.
Yeah, they are.
They have a good time. It's little kids in masks and shit, and that's where they've got the right idea. Appealing to that adult audience, appealing to the, you know, the angry, jaded, cynical wrestling fan, much like Ring of Honor and CZW kind of does. I don't know if that's gonna be what takes them into the next, you know, 4 or 5 years of wrestling, but they need to change that mentality. They need to change that mentality of making money.
That's really what it is. What CZW needs to do, is they need to change from this mentality of making a wrestling show to being a company that can make money and draw people and have them have fun and be interested in care again.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, it's as simple as that. Don't even bother putting on the tape from Cage of Death 3 or 4 and then watching the most recent Cage of Death without feeling like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You're going to go, boy.
Yeah, it was a different vibe. And now, actually, they have a big, big leap and bound to make, because they're calling their new home this joint in Jersey, which, if you don't know, it's the place where the Flyers fucking hockey team practices. Like, an enormous hockey-based building that is completely professional. That I'd said on one of the past shows that I went to, you went from, they were doing a quote-unquote death match, which there is actually huge, huge limitations on what they can do in Jersey now.
Yes.
Quote-unquote death match, to walking out and about 215-year-olds skating around to Britney Spears music in the next fucking room. And it was, just an ice rink full of kids holding hands skating to Britney Spears, and it was like, this is the weirdest fucking thing I've ever seen.
That's what the venue is, and that's what they're doing. But if they were handling this company well enough, if things were being done in a proper promotional way, and mm-hmm. the ability, if they could run shows all within an hour to an hour and 20 minutes of each other to different buildings in different states, different venues, where you live, I don't know as well as, for example, I would, living in Massachusetts, I don't know this as well, but I do know that, with a pretty small amount of effort, you can get to a good handful of states within an hour to 2 hours. And
sure.
if you created a product that was that good, you could work a loop of being in those different states or in those different few places and good venues that you knew, that you goddamn well knew, people gave a shit, and people from other places would drive to those. Because if you have something that's good enough, people will drive an hour. They'll drive a fucking hour. They might not drive two. They might not drive an hour and a half, but they'll drive an hour, maybe a little bit more, give or take, if you've got something that they really want to watch. So you'd have it be in those four or five or six different centralized locations, and then you'd be able to get one decent venue a year, one decent ice rink, something that holds 1,000 people. And those mm-hmm. places are everywhere, a minor league hockey rink, something like that.
Yeah.
And then that's where, you say, you go to all these towns and you build that up the whole fucking year, and you say, December, this is when shit really goes down. You come to this place and you make it a venue where people, it's all within an hour of all these different places, and people say to themselves, God damn, this show is fucking crazy. So in December, that's their big show. That's like their, WrestleMania. And that's how you make things happen. Instead of you have it in one building here and it's a spot show and 100 people show up and you're here, 100 people fucking show up, blah, blah, blah. You literally set up the storyline as the show goes, and then you say to people at the end, oh, fuck, what do you think is going to happen with Sammy Callahan? Holy fuck, I can't believe this is going on with him. Well, a month, if you drive an hour down the road, where in, Westchester, I don't fucking know the names of your cities in that area, I'm guessing. In a month we're in Westchester, you drive an hour down there, if you hold on to your ticket stuff from here, we'll give you, $3 off at the door. You go there and you fucking show up there and you're going to see what happens to Sammy Callahan.
Yeah.
And then people go, oh, fuck, maybe, all right. In 3 weeks, maybe we'll make the drive down there. And, there's five of us that came to this show. They're going to give us $3 off the ticket. That's $15. That's, that's worth the fucking gas. Let's go do that. And then it all culminates in, it's December. We're in an ice arena. Oh, big fucking venue. 1,000 people there. Holy shit, we got to go.
Yeah. It's just a hard go with CZW's history and stuff, like we keep saying over and over, but it is. And next month's going to be Tangled Web, which if you saw last year's Tangled Web,
they did a circus death match in the ECW arena where Scotty Vortex got tendons in his wrist severed because they used the wrong type of glass. But on top of that, they had a two-ring circus death match with the whole barbed wire net and scaffolding and all of this stuff. And now we have Tangled Web in New Jersey. And, yeah, well, good luck with that. And I think it's going to be DJ Hyde versus Matt Tremont.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. Drake's in Cali.
Drake. Why'd you have to go and do something good with your life? You're screwing up the whole program.
I don't blame him for 1 second. But, I mean, you set up this type of history, and then it's like, well, follow that. Bill Burr's your opener. Make him laugh.
Have a good time, guys. You know what? You have to. I guess you just in a way you have to have faith in a guy like Tremont who can hold it up. I mean, that's all you can hope for. That kid's a fucking. He's a nut. He's an absolute.
Oh,
nut.
Yeah.
He's balls to the wall. Really trying to be that next big deathmatch guy. So hopefully he can keep a guy like DJ afloat. But the problem is, he's not. It's really hard to build up heels in that deathmatch scene. I mean, it really is. Just is. It's tough to do because you, in a strange sort of way, whether you're a fan or not, you either think that they're stupid or you respect them because you go, God damn, this is fucking fake. He didn't have to do that.
You know that.
Like, you know in your heart of hearts, like, you're like, God damn, this guy is fucking crazy for doing this. And you're going to respect him. You're going to be like, oh, fuck. Like, he's kind of
heel or not, they take the big dump and they're over, right?
No, yeah, of course. You go, God damn, like, why the fuck is he doing that? And you kind of, like I said, respect the guy. So who knows who it could be aside from DJ. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it's not like you could say to yourself, oh, fuck, that shouldn't be DJ. That should be fill in the blank.
Yeah.
What I mean? Like, if that wasn't DJ Hyde, who else could that have been right now, you know?
Yeah, you run out of things to do. I mean, they just, like I said, the history. You go back and back and back to the history. It's like, now how do you top that? What do you do next year? What do you do the year after that? And oh, now you have restrictions. How are you gonna fill that bill?
Well, I hope that what happens with them, just as somebody that's watched this company since I think probably the middle of 2001, 2002, I hope that eventually they reach a point where they become more fixated on drawing people and rebuilding characters that people give a shit, as opposed to just doing the death match and doing the fucking crazy spot matches, and you know this is going to make people happy. Well, you've been doing it for 5 years now and you've only seen it get worse. I think you got to go back to making the people that somebody cares about and rolling with it. And you know, I've been staring, I'm looking at the screen, I'm looking at the Yakuza Kick Radio emblem, and all I could think to myself was Trent Acid didn't have to fucking go set himself on fire.
No.
Trent Acid didn't have to fucking do this, and that. Because, you know, as much as people want to, you know, shit on even a guy like Johnny Cashmere, at least they went out there and, you know, they had something. They were characters and people connected to them. Can we bring that back? Do you think it's possible? I think it always is. I'd like to always think it is. And that's just the positive part of me that hopes wrestling doesn't, you know, go down the tubes even more. So.
Yeah,
that was
sure.
a long-winded answer to your first question. So
that's cool,
but there
man.
It is.
But yeah, I think I'm pretty much ready to wrap it up. I mean, we've been doing a pretty long little run here. I think maybe a little short for your liking with your 5-hour shows over there. But I had a great time with it. And
I don't know if you know this, but this is like a casual length of time for me. And I've done this on a phone, which I haven't done. A spoken podcast on a phone like this ever. So myself, I'm pretty impressed. My ear's a little sweaty, but aside from that, I'm pretty impressed with myself. So.
Yeah, well, awesome. Anybody out there who hasn't heard Joey before, he'll definitely be back on Thursday on the Wrestling Soup.
Yeah.
WrestlingSoup.com, I think, 10:15? You guys are on?
Yes, James. Yeah, we'll be there 10:15 p.m. You can go to WrestlingSoup.com. You can check us out on Facebook. It's real easy. You just look for us up in the search bar. And you'll come across us. You can either, you know, join into our, you know, chat discussion or simply just like our page. And you can follow either me or Missionary on Twitter. You can follow the show at Wrestling Soup on Twitter or me at Joe Numbers on Twitter. That's N-U-M-B-A-S. And you can keep up with all the craziness there, and I'm sure you'll be there too. So.
Yeah, man. I'll definitely be checking out a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, we'll be there. We ain't going anywhere. Nobody's scaring us away. And I'm sure nobody's scaring you away. So everybody, make sure that you keep listening to this goddamn show every Thursday night before us. Check it out
now,
before
well, that's the thing. I'm switching around now. So I'm doing this on Tuesday this week. And then next week, Wednesday is going to become my regular day. So now we can promote each other properly without stepping on each other's toes at the same time.
Oh, that's good. Oh, you're going to do Wednesday night. That's
yeah,
a,
I'm going to do Wednesdays. I'm going to move the Two Moms, One Show to Tuesday. Well, they'll be doing it tomorrow. As of right now, they'll be doing it tomorrow. And then next week, they'll move to Tuesday. I'll move to Wednesday. You guys on Thursday. Everything's wonderful.
God damn. Yeah, I mean, for the most part right now, if you're involved in this little chat world that we have, our own little network type deal, you have Don Tony and Kevin Castle Monday, Tuesday, then you will have the Two Moms Show. We'll have you on Yakuza Kick, and then Wrestling Soup on Thursdays, and then Sundays on pay-per-view. So,
yeah.
You people, let me tell you, if you're thinking about developing a life and going out at night, you can just forget it.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
You get some hungry man, and you listen to all of us, you prick bastards.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, thanks for coming on, Joey. I mean, you got anything else you want to throw out there? Have at it. But
No, of course not. I mean, I think, you know, we said a lot here. I didn't feel like I fucking talked your ear off, but that's kind of the nature of the beast.
It's what I expected.
That's the nature of the show. That's the nature of the beast. I'm glad that I finally got to do this with you. I'm glad you had a good time. I did too. And, I'll come back and do this again sometime soon. If you want to have me on here, we'll do this hopefully sometime. It could be on a pay-per-view that I've actually been capable of getting a hold of.
Yeah, I would love to do so. We'll definitely do this again. But have a good night, Joey. I'll be listening on Thursday. And, again, thanks, man.
Thanks, buddy. You too. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Hey, so there you go. That was Joey Numbers of the Wrestling Soup. You checked him out on Thursday. Another friend of mine, Andrew Carluck of Stern Nation. I'm going to try to give a call to them. I think they're recording tomorrow night. I'm going to try to give a call into them. But great guy over there. They do a great show, you know, wrapping up the Howard Stern show and all that. You know, check him out. Again, Two Moms, One Show tomorrow night. Leave 10 o'clock and they'll be tearing it up. That's my girl Nina, Mitch's girl Tink, and they're gonna do that. And you check out Wrestling Soup on Thursday 10:15. Next week, shuffle around a little bit more. I'll be on Wednesday night, Two Moms One Show, Tuesday night, Thursday night, Wrestling Soup. That's what it is. We're gonna try to get this all together. Try to share audiences a little more. Well, obviously, I need a lot more sharing than they do, but I hope that the people who listen to Yakuza are now able to check out Wrestling Soup because I enjoy it every week, and I don't see why anybody else shouldn't. So that's what it is, and I think I'm about done for tonight. I'm going to check you motherfuckers out next week. Peace.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio! And we're taking over!